Blog Talk Radio.
Martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Sell their soul for a chance.
and you must choose. Will it be eternal life, or will you choose to lose your soul as you disappear into the midnight?
Heavenly Father, we praise your name. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, in all things. We praise your name in all things, the good and the bad. And there's an awful lot of us that are going through some challenging times, a lot of Christians that are under attack. It has shown up on, thank you for everybody who's giving me a sound check and saying it's working good. Thank you, Jesus. But Father, we just want to thank you for bringing us to a place of understanding. I pray that we remember to thank you for this at every radio show, to bring us to a place of understanding whereby we're not like our other fellow brothers and sisters out there that are, well, essentially holding us up. I really believe with all my heart, Father, and I know that you know that I think this, that if they weren't so lost and so focused on Donald Trump saving the world and so focused on, the unfortunate misgivings of the Seven Mountains Mandate people and the various pillow prophet prophecies that are being spoken from that camp, And they're just mesmerized. They're in a state of a trance right now, where they believe in their churches that as long as they're standing behind Israel, regardless of what the situation is, that everything's going to be great. They're dancing in the hallways, running up and down the aisles with presumptuous sin upon their heart, carrying flags and waving them back and forth. And our Father loves every one of them. Our Father, we thank you for being so loving, so kind, so merciful to all of those that are misled, because we were part of that camp at one time. We were very, very misled. And there's probably a few things that we're still misled in, no doubt about it. But we praise you, Father, for bringing us to the place that we are at least right now, and with an open heart that we might be able to receive even more mysteries of the Bible, more deeper understanding of where we are and what's expected of us, and also to spend more time growing in total harmony with you in your presence, Father God, and having thy rod and thy staff comfort us, to literally take that staff and wrap it around our neck and yank us back on to for a stable walk on that very, very narrow path, and a good whack on the butt from that rod. And we need that. We need to be steady as she goes, heading straight for the marriage supper. And Father, we just praise you for helping us to understand all the things that are happening around the world, even when it seems to slow down for a couple of days and it'll start to drive us kind of a little bit crazy. We can still see if we're paying close enough attention, even amidst the noise associated with solar storms and everything else. And the misgivings and the people that are overreacting and the people that are, you know, crying, you know, chicken little all over the place. Father, at the same time, you know, we're very, very blessed because you have given us an understanding that is has a scope that is very, very wide, very, very deep, and helps us to be able to anchor ourselves in a better understanding, maybe not a perfect understanding, but a better understanding of the days that we're in right now and just about right about where we are in the end times biblical timeline. And there's no doubt that we are in the sorrows period. In my very strong opinion in regard to that, I'm not the only one who believes that. We have not completed the third seal. The second seal is rolling forward for sure. The fourth seal is, the third seal, of course, is the global financial collapse. And boy, are there a lot of financial analysts and experts out there that are really getting very, very upset. As a matter of fact, there's been Bank of Canada is supposed to be going down. down here pretty soon. There's banks going that are sinking, that are dropping like flies right out of the sky. Here in the United States of Babylon the Great, they're expecting a much more dramatic crash, possibly triggered by the $2 quadrillion derivatives market that is not, it's all fake anyway, but it's fake enough that it's doing a good, you know, it's tricking people who leverage it to make money to go ahead and continue to leverage it, even though that it's a disaster. And it's not just a disaster waiting to happen. It is literally on the edge of a crumbly cliff that is ready to just break free. And we see all these things around us, Father God. We see the signs and the sun and the moon and the stars. We see the seas roaring. We see the incredible, I mean, totally apocalyptic records that are being set, 115 degrees Fahrenheit, not feels like temperature, but real temperature, down in the Florida Keys just today. That's very unnerving for me because that aligns with the claim of the meteorologist that we are going to have an El Niño year, which means that the point on the globe where the hurricanes get started most of the time when they're on the the Atlantic side of the United States is toward the southern half of Africa, just a little bit south of the Ivory Coast. And then they go like bowling balls right from there straight directly west and head directly into the Caribbean island chains, where they either deviate up north and hit something along the east coast of the United States of Babylon the Great, or they go into the Gulf. Of course, if they go into the Gulf, I'm already pretty darn tired of it, I can tell you that. Anyway, praise God, Father. We just thank you that we can see all these things, every single thing, the pestilence, the famine, the fears of those things that are coming upon the earth, all this stuff, people, men's hearts failing them. They may not be failing them quite yet, but they surely will in the days to come. So many people have been duped and tricked by Project Bluebeam, which was, in my opinion, a strong, strong opinion. It is that, and I believe with all of my heart that the Lord showed me this on purpose. And the Project Bluebeam is a bunch of bunk. It's a counterintelligence operation. They are going to be real nuts and bolts mechanical. Motherships are going to be huge. They are not going to be holograms, and they are going to be deadly, very, very deadly. And Father, I thank you very much for the video that you gave me just recently of a very large mothership in the sky shooting a massive directed energy weapon, a red laser in this particular case, down at the ground directly from the ship itself. I have known in my heart that they were coming from motherships, and now I have the confirmation on video. Praise you, Jesus. And it wasn't just me, it was other people that saw it as well. And we just give you all the praise, Father. There's just not a box that we cannot check. Blood, fire, vapor, smoke. The volcanoes are going off all over the place. Everything that we would want to be tracking right now that Jesus laid out in the Olivet Discourse, also 2 Thessalonians 2. We know that the coronation of the Antichrist is right around the corner. We've got people that are throwing in throwing in a towel for somebody that's as tenacious as Alex Jones, but I don't think I've ever seen him so depressed in my entire life. There's a lot of people that are catching on. Digital ID bill that just passed in Australia. A lot of people are flipping out about that and wanting to fight back against it, but I don't think they really, well, I know as a fact that they don't understand it. They don't understand how it's going to be instituted. It's going to be by force. They will not ask. So the only option the individual will have is to take the phone and throw it into a lake and go phoneless. Okay, which is very hard for a lot of people to do, especially people like me, because I can't even do my job. At that point, I am unemployed and homeless and walking the streets. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what? I'm not playing this game. People can say that they're going to rebel. One thing is for sure, that is a direction that I am not going to walk. I think that we're coming up rapidly upon a time. Now, the United States is probably going to be a very slow adopter to many of these things because each one of the states is structured like a country. So the United States is much more like the European Union than it is any other country in the world, except it's much more highly protected governmentally because each one of the individual states, with the exception, I believe, of two, has a executive branch, judicial branch, and a executive, judicial, and what's the other one? Wait a minute. Executive, judicial, and legislative. Anyway, we don't have that in a couple of the states, but the rest of them do, and that makes it extremely difficult for these fallen angelic. I have to be very careful of the words that I choose. The filthy stench that stole its place on this planet and is hanging around making our lives a living miserable situation. I'll just leave it at that because those are not the words that were popping in my head, Father. I praise your holy name and I thank you for the opportunity to be able to serve you. I praise you for everybody that's listening to this program that has the same opportunity to serve you, that we have a chance now to be Jesus on this earth. We have millions, maybe even billions of brothers and sisters that are so lost, so absorbed with Israel, so utterly lost. They have no idea about the Babylonian Talmud. They have no idea about the Khazars. They have no idea about what's really going on in Gaza. And they're just jumping for joy and running all around, and they are so lost. Words just cannot describe it. And it's just a terrible situation, Father God. And very soon, through the things that you're going to allow to happen, they're going to see that the one that they worship more than anyone, even more than Jesus, Donald Trump, is not going to save this world. They are going to go into a state of shock. I pray in the name of Jesus, the faster the Seven Mountains Mandate people go into a state of shock, the better for the rest of the world. And Father, then we have a chance not to be mean and snarky and to say I told you so, but a chance to be very loving and kind to them and help them along. They are going to be emotionally crippled. Absolutely horrified, because at that point they're going to realize that there's no turning back and they were going the wrong direction in the first place. We praise you, Father God, for this understanding. It gives us the strength we need to continue to go forward, even when the radio shows, you know, breaking off and on more frequently than I can personally tolerate without getting pretty darn not happy about it. Let's just leave it at that. And now to him, our Lord Jesus, who's able to keep us from stumbling and present us faultless someday before the presence of your glory, Father God, with exceeding joy. And that sounds like a lot of joy, Father. And to you, Father God, our Savior, who alone is wise, who would save someone who doesn't deserve it, who takes greater joy in saving someone's soul who has rebelled, like in the prodigal son. It's just amazing. And you love those of us who have wandered so much, and you're so happy when we come back. We don't deserve it, because all of us at one point, and some of us in many situations, many dynamics in our lives over many years, have been prodigal sons, and you were still happy to take us back. We praise you for that, because you are our Abba, Father, our dear Father. Thank you, Jesus, for being who you are. Thank you for being close to us and never forsaking us. Sometimes it feels like you're awful distant right now, but I believe with all of my heart the throne room has never been busier now than it has been in the history of existence. We are on a war footing. This is the end of the war. We are in a war situation. The throne room of God is at full battle stations, which means we all have to pray even harder to get our petitions pushed up and speak in tongues as much as we possibly can. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you, Father God, forever and ever. Amen. I told you to seek.
time for you to look around. The signs I gave are coming down. Don't be caught asleep and blind. You don't want to be left behind. Come and be home. 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 Come and be holy. The end of the age is with you now.
Well, after missing two shows,
here's Johnny.
This is disturbing.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. I needed that. Anyway, all right, well, praise God, here we are, and after a couple of back-to-back massive interruptions, anyway, praise Jesus, they are back up and running, and they are, Blog Talk Radio is to this moment in time, which could change at any second, the only podcast venue, particularly the only one that has this level of functionality, which, of course, you wouldn't appreciate if you're not a host. If you're a host and you got to travel and stuff like that, you know, say, for example, that my boss makes me travel to a place for a week. Well, if for some miraculous reason they leave me alone on a Wednesday night or whatever, I have to kind of feel through the situation. It depends because, you know. It's very aggravating. I don't want to be a little boy. I don't want to work with a bunch of little boys, and I don't want to be drug out with a bunch of little boys to hang out and talk about and get all, you know, and I'm like, I have nothing in common with any of them. Anyway, so now that I got that off my chest, but anyway, sometime, who knows, in the next few months, they're going to force me to go somewhere again. So much fun. And little do they know, there's almost for certain going to be another lockdown, pandemic, and mask situation. And the next round is, well, a lot of people got the feeling that the next round of pandemics that are coming are going to be far, far worse. There's been much mention from the forces of darkness and the fallen seraphim and these filthy, stinking, second-order demons that have – well, they're not demons. They're fallen angels. They're fallen angelic species that are alive and in what the Book of Jude refers to as strange flesh bodies. They are twice dead, like the giants were in the Book of Giants. If you killed a giant, it became a demon immediately. There wasn't a second chance. Okay, that's – what, you know, that's the whole deal behind that twice dead concept. You're already dead, you're already cursed, and when that body dies, you're going straight into the demonic realm. Okay, there's no redemption for you. You are twice dead. That's what these entities are. When you kill them, they die. Okay, and that's over for them. Okay, they don't reincarnate. All right, none of that stuff. All right, well, anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We have a strong level, I would say probably a superior level of understanding of what we're dealing with out there. It takes a lot of, you got to be willing to shoulder a fantastic burden, a supremely fantastic burden to be one of the people that, I'm just going to try to leave some of my adjectives and adverbs out because some of them are, you know, after you've been doing this for a really long time, you just want to grab a baseball bat and start beating something, you know, like a, I need a pinata with keto candy. I need a big old pinata hanging down from a tree in my backyard with keto candy in it that doesn't, you know, cause you to have digestive upset. And then I got to go out there with my Louisville slugger and I got to take a seriously hard, man, I got to get some frustrations out. Anyway, I think a lot of us do because we've been at this for a real long time now. May, June, July. So we got two more months before we will be working on the 14th year of this program. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And there's a lot of, you know, there's we don't chum the waters as much as we used to. Back in the early days, we used to chum the waters a lot. And what do I mean by that? Well, we noted very quickly that there were significant increases in numbers on the radio shows where we were talking about the devil and the fallen angels and the evil in the world. The more we talked about the devil, the bigger the listens were. I mean, to an order of magnitude, there were more people listening to the shows about the devil than there were by any stretch. If you started to talk about the love of Jesus, if you started to talk about what you got to do to get to become a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that we may be holy and without a blemish, Ephesians 5:27, then the phone lines would go down. They'd go dark. People would start hanging up the phone. Nobody wanted to hear it. All people want to hear is doom. They want to hear the evil stuff. They want to hear the scary stuff. And now we've got this, like we did not have back in 2011 and 2012 and 2013 and 20, et cetera. Nowadays we have a whole another group, and I'm just going to make up a word, another, a different group of Christians that have, they know enough. They're maybe on a 500 milligram red pill, and they know enough that things, they'll say things like, oh yeah, those flying saucers are fallen angels. That's a good thing. Okay, that's a good thing because they've come a long way, baby. Let me tell you what. Okay, because I don't have to go back very many years before they were calling us all a bunch of, you know, awful names because, you know, we dared to even believe that there was a such thing as a flying saucer. And now they finally snapped out of their stupor with their 500 milligram. And they are at least noting and in their little Bible studies and stuff talking about the fact that these are fallen angels. Now, I'm sure they're befuddled and confused and have no idea how that could be. And they don't really understand the wars in the heavens, the Luciferian rebellion. They certainly don't understand our pre-existence. They have no idea why Jesus said in John 10:34, have I not said that ye are gods, little g, and it's reflective of Psalm 82, which was the judgment that came down upon us. And they, you know, and it's just so, it's a very, the churchianity today has a very very, very kindergarten-esque level of understanding of the Bible, who we are in Christ, who we are from a standpoint of power of the name of the Lord Jesus. We're conduits of Jesus Christ. We funnel the power from the Godhead through us to command people's bodies to be made whole and to heal, to cast out demons by talking to the mountain. Get out, you dag-nabbit demon! Get out now! And you don't say it nicely, by the way, because they don't listen. They're about as you think some of these people, some of these pillow prophet following Christians out there are, you know, as smart as a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on a, you know, December day. We're dealing with a really bad situation out there. And can you imagine how deeply our Father loves all of our fellow brothers and sisters? You know, a lot of us are probably so tired of having to go through what we have gone through over the last 14 years. For me, I'm going to keep on falling back on the 14-year mark because that's when I really started to wake up. Now, I don't know. I could probably go back 16 years and say I really – that's when it really kicked into high. You know, I shifted from first gear to second gear. I made it all the way to fourth, and now I'm at cruising altitude. I'm actually getting up in the air. I'm almost flying. I'm at the end of the runway about 16 years ago, and I started to put a lot of the information up. Even going back to 2009 was – see, I had tons and tons of information, tons and tons of articles, 435 slide PowerPoint presentation on all this. I had the Kazars in there. I had the destruction of the pineal gland in there by fluoride in the water. It was all part of that 400 PowerPoint slide presentation. A lot of the stuff that the folks that are going to prophecy conferences and things like that are talking about or writing books about even today. You know, I've known, praise Jesus, I've known about these things now for about 16, 17 years. And I knew everything there was to ever know about 9/11 and that fiasco because I was so blown away by the dynamics that it had actually occurred that I spent a good amount of money on just about every DVD I could get my hands on and studied. I didn't just sort of study. I super-duper studied the material and deep-dived it, real heavy-duty deep-dived it. Anytime I could get my hands on a YouTube video back before they were doing the censoring thing like they are now heavily, you could get a hold of YouTube videos. There was a couple of scientists out of Switzerland that had come over to Manhattan. They had taken a sample of the dust back to their laboratories, and they analyzed it for the particulate, and they identified all of the various particulate that was located inside the dust sample, and then they did a quantitative scientific analysis of the various particulate, and they were able to determine that the towers were brought down with 10 tons of super nanothermite. So then I'm like, super nanothermite? I've never heard of that. Excuse me. My goodness. Anyway, these back-to-back when you have to go right from your day job and you have no time at all, you just got to go whoosh, and grab yourself, shove food down your mouth like you're an animal, run over and grab the microphone and just get kicking and just go right to it. And I got to do that again tomorrow, so I'll have 2 18-hour back-to-back days. That'll be nice. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway, you know, when I dug into the super nanothermite, I was like, this is weird. So I started digging. Then I dug more. Then I dug more. You didn't have fact checkers back then. You didn't have the censorship industrial complex back then. You did not have the NSA, the CIA, the White House, and all these other tares, these entities that are not human, that are and in a completely rogue and satanically operated Department of Justice, the things that we could name, call out, and say that person, that person, that person, this person, that person, this person, that person, this person, that person. We could call out probably 60 or 70 people that are in the government of the United States of Babylon the Great that are definitely fallen angels, definitely tares. The tares are not human. The tares are fallen angelic creatures, okay? And they do have the ability to manipulate the mass that we live in our hologram, albeit a very convincing one, as Einstein had put it, very appropriately so. Okay, they have the ability to manipulate mass. They can also use high, super-duper high-powered electromagnetic forces like you see in the movie Contact with Jodie Foster, which is that's like a super unbelievable intergalactic version of the Montauk chair, which Brother Robert Vandreas Mitchell, who comes on the program tonight, has sat in. He's met the Syrian or this, you know, the alien beings from Sirius. You know, and you might say, well, what's the difference between a Sirius alien being bringing the Montauk chair to the world, to the United States, and a, you know, and like, say, for example, a holy watcher, okay, like that chaff creature or being that met with Heidi Hollis and her Holy Spirit-filled friend from college that warned them and told them that Jesus was Lord. They would never, ever, if they are of the darkness, if they are fallen, if they are twice dead, if they are cursed, they are not even allowed to mention God. They're not even allowed to mention the name of Jesus at all. Okay, as a matter of fact, one of the books that I have, which are many, has a particular individual. I believe he went by the name of Chris, and he was taken on board. If you remember the end of the movie, Knowing with Nicolas Cage, when those light ships came down out of the sky at the very end when they were taking their version of Adam and Eve as little children to another planet because Earth was about to be destroyed. Interestingly, it has the best rendered Hollywood version of the first trumpet judgment ever to hit the big screen in it. By this time, Nicolas Cage has gone back to be with his father, who was a pastor, and him and he and his wife were at complete peace with dying. You know, of course, if they were, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, they would have been raptured and gone by then. But they weren't getting into those levels of details in the program. It was just neat to be able to see the end come and people taking it in peace. That was pretty cool. But anyway, those ships that came down with the Pleiadians on them, dressed in the black with the black stones and all that weirdness, when they took the two little kids along with them, you know, that and to go start another civilization with a brand new Adam and Eve. That's what they were trying to trick everybody into thinking was going on at the end of the movie Knowing. All right. So anyway, it's fascinating when you actually are able to piece together all the mistruths and half-truths and semi-truths and lies and confusion that they want to weave in and see how they hijack our holy word, how they hijack our Bible, and now they're working very, very hard, very, very hard to make our Bible as illegal can be. And their intentions are to come and get them. They've just passed a law. They just got done passing a law that says I knew this one was coming. I've known it for, this one I've known for 20 years. It's the anti-hoarding law. They have passed it in the United States of Babylon the Great. So for those of you who have done a good job of storing up lentils, you know, dried lentils, dried black beans, dried pinto beans, big 5-gallon jugs full of rice and all this other stuff, and you've got enough to hold you over for a long time with your giant propane tank and your gas grill and all that kind of stuff, guess what? They're going to knock the police. They're going to knock down the door of your garage by force. They're going to come in and take away your food. So be advised, shall we, that they have thought of everything. They have figured out that they're going to go ahead and make all of our personal gardens illegal. I know there's a lot of you out there. I know many of you very, very personally. And I know you're saying, go ahead and give it a try. Like somehow you're going to stop them. And I'm just here to tell you, you're not going to accomplish nothing but make them kill more Christians than they're already going to be killing. The second that any Christian out there thinks they're doing God a service by, you know, pulling out an earthly weapon and attacking the police or anybody else for that matter. Oh, and by the way, did you hear? The European Union has just passed a law. Gotta love it. If you see anything at all negative about immigration, do not pass go, do not collect $200, and go straight to jail. How do you like them apples? So the EU is, they're lost. They're just as lost as Australia is. And we can pretty much bank on the fact that any loss that Australia has taken has also been taken by New Zealand because they're almost like brother and sister countries. It's a sad situation, but it's true. I'm not saying they're exactly the same, but they're real close. And the entity that refers to itself as the Prime Minister or whatever of New Zealand is also a transsexual, and just like our friend Big Mike, which I'm about so sick and tired of hearing about, I want to just throw up all over my desk. But you know what? Then I have to clean it up because I live here all by myself. So if any of you guys want to win some brownie points with Jesus, just fly on down here to Tampa, Florida. I'll put you in the spare bedroom, and you can help me clean this out. Okay, no, I'm just joking. But anyway, praise God. Thank you for joining us tonight. It is a pleasure to get back on the air. I don't like doing back-to-back shows so much. I'm not real big on doing a Thursday night show and a Friday night show back-to-back because it does mean, I'm going to have to sit in this annoying chair in my office staring at the same computer screens for 18 hours. It is not fun. And let me tell you about it hurts. It is physically painful. Anyway, but I deal with it and praise God for it. And, you know, and we just got to take it a day at a time and see how we get, you know, I don't like to use this analogy, but I'm going to use it, how the deck of cards gets dealt out to each of us because we don't know. We don't know how long we're going to be here. When people ask me that question, what I tell them is, and let me just go see if I can find this. Somebody did ask me earlier, and I gave them what my favorite version. It's what I call the succinct version of the end times. Okay, hold on just a second. There we go. And here it is. Trump is elected. Trump is assassinated. Civil War begins in the United States. World War III starts. Martial law is instituted in the United States with the United Nations soldiers assisting. Obama is placed in the White House and then affiliated with the United Nations for world rule. And at that point, my estimation would be he would be revealed as the Antichrist. Please, Father, please don't make us wait till a later time. Oh, please. The aliens arrive and we leave. Trump's elected, Trump's assassinated, Civil War, World War III, martial law, Obama is in the White House, revealed as the Antichrist, check all the boxes, 2 Thessalonians 2, the aliens arrive and we leave. That's what I call the simplified version of our timeline for imminent departure. Is there going to be a whole bunch of other ugly, horrible, unspeakably, dastardly, evil, sickening things that are going to happen until then? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can believe it. Anything that you think that you have seen, anything that you have seen on Twitter, the dead children, the charred bodies, the horror that is occurring at the hand of the Khazars, the sick, twisted Babylonian Talmud things where they say that Jesus is boiling in a vat of feces and all this. Oh, my goodness gracious sakes alive, my gosh. And to have to be able to put up with it and then have to go to work on top of it all and be surrounded with people making little comments in team meetings like, well, we just got to see what the gods say. And I just want to reach through that Zoom meeting and take I want to slap the crap out of them right into the next dimension. But I have to pretend like nothing bothers me, which, you know, and, you know, it's okay. I've heard it all. I've been spanked. I think part of what God makes you go through when you have a podcast or do any kind of work like this, particularly if you do the type of work that I do, which is highly, highly, highly controversial, it's easy. I'm not going to joke you. I'm going to come right out and be full disclosure. It is easy to be the average pastor out there. That is not a hard thing to do. Okay? What's hard to do is go out there and tell people the stuff they don't want to know. You can't talk about aliens. You can't talk about fallen angels. You can't talk about the Luciferian rebellion. You can't talk about pre-existence. You can't talk about any of these things. None of them. And they're crucial for us to understand who we are. You know, people will say the most ignorant things like, oh, wow, you must be a Mormon because you believe in preexistence and you're all going to burn in hell and all that other kind of stuff. Well, my Bible says, judge not, ye be judged. So, buddy, I hope you got some comfortable shoes while you're standing in the judgment line. All right. The problem here is if the devil has something he don't want you to know, he's going to hide it in a place that is going to be impeached. He is going to hide it somewhere that nobody's going to look. No one's going to go rifling around in the books that are hidden inside the Mormon collection of evil because they don't want to be anywhere near it. It's like going into a library and going to the grimoire section and pulling out, you know, the grimoire of Abram Mellon. That book was so evil that it got banned from cities all over the world and was found located back in the Dark Ages, I guess it was. I don't know what was the 1600s, colonial period. But it was around the 1600s, the grimoire known as the Book of Abram Mellon, which is where the words abracadabra come from, was actually found in, I think it was London, and people were dying, buildings were catching on fire, it was all kinds of things, and the police finally got the word that that book existed there, and they busted in the place and got rid of it and burned it, which is exactly what you want to do with that piece of garbage. But anyway, praise God, thank you, Jesus. All right, now, on that note, let's go ahead and go into tonight's program. I already let Robert know that I'm going to be running late because of the lost shows that we had, but I want you to hear as much as I can take time to show you tonight to bring you up to speed, because now we went from having a pretty weak show on Sunday night with not a lot of happening. Okay, then we had a pretty dagnabbit okay show with a lot more stuff happening on Wednesday. Missed both those. We rolled it over to tonight, and now we got a lot of stuff. So let me tell you something. If you got any doubt in your mind that we're leaving real soon, let me tell you something. That doubt's going away tonight. Right, kids? All right, kids, let's see if we can find something good for you guys. Oh, boy, I forgot to put your jokes down. Okay, kids, why did the mother broom tell the baby broom when the clock struck 8 o'clock? Because it was time to go to sweep. Go to sweep, get it, kids? Yay. Okay, kids. Why did the boy chop the joke book in half? Because his mom said, cut the comedy. Kids? All right, kids. What did the Egyptian kid say when he got lost?
I want my mommy.
Oh, and by the way, so does everybody in the UK. Right, kids? I have a friend of mine was over in the UK, and I got to call her. I haven't talked to her in so long. I feel bad. But anyway, she's like, I haven't seen my mummy in so long. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but it's just to us, what would you call us? Citizens of Babylon, the most evil country that ever existed. Interestingly, which is going to be the birthplace, well, the current day birthplace of the Antichrist. Holy moly. Yeah. The depth of the evil of this country is so sadly unknown. But if you get the proper DVDs, and they're available out on YouTube, I believe, they are called.
All right. Hold on a second. Pull them out of my gazillion.
Got to pull them out of my gazillion set. I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of DVDs, documentaries. So one of them is called The Eye of the Phoenix, Secrets of the Dollar Bill, and the other one is called The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, The New Atlantis. All right, I'm here to tell you, you get these two, you watch them, you study them, you verify the information, and your mind is going to be blown. You will never think the United States You will never believe that the money says, in God we trust, because it doesn't. It says, in Lucifer we trust. You have to understand the people that made that worship. Their God is Satan. Their God is Lucifer. Okay, and so unfortunately what we have is like with Roosevelt. Roosevelt knew what he was doing. He put all those ships right there side by side so that the Japanese fleet could come in and kill everybody and bomb those ships intentionally as a 33rd degree Mason on December the 7th. That was a setup. He did it on purpose. He was warned by people in the Aleutian Islands that the Japanese fleet was coming by, and they blocked the signal and ignored it. It was planned. That's why what I said to people Stephen Ben Noon's show, listen, when they mentioned Israel's 9/11, this is Israel's December 7th, those were code words. Those were Illuminati code words, and that's why they're doing what they're doing. So anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go ahead and head into the show. We sure do have a lot to share with you, and I do not want to miss this opportunity to do so. Praise God. All right. Now, the first thing I'm going to play for you is right after the news stinger, and it is, I'm going to read it to you. It is a prophecy from God's Healer 7, one of those that you have to read on the show. Praise God. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong.
What? It's not normal.
This is disturbing.
Game over.
Praise God. And here goes the God's Healer 7. This was a mind blower here. All right, check this out. The prophecy reads, the Anunnaki are here. They walk with the elite. Fallen angels are hidden in plain sight. They are the rich and the famous. The reptilians are now in control of the skies. Hold fast. Time is moving quickly. By the way, do you ask yourself the question when something says the reptilians are in control of the skies, do you ask yourself, is that a mothership full of reptilians shooting that red laser at the ground? What happened, in Maui? You know, those are fallen angel motherships. They are huge. They are huge. They are as big as Independence Day, folks. Okay? And you can still, I think it's Free V or one of those is still playing V for Visitors. So you can watch the first couple of, and that's all you need to see is the first couple of seasons of that. Absolutely mind-blowing. And it will happen. It might, maybe not precisely like that. And all these people out there telling everybody about a hologram-based fake alien invasion. Oh, no, 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 no. Nope. My Bible makes it very clear that all they that hear them will fear and tremble, men's hearts failing them for fear of those things coming upon the earth. 2 Ezra 2, verse 28, when the dragons of Arabia come on the earth flying like eagles in chariots, okay? And again, once again, it says, all them that hear them will fear and tremble. Don't get me going on the seven thunders prophecies from God's Healer 7 that I still have and repeat on a pretty regular basis. I'm telling you, folks, these are not holograms. They're not holograms. That is fake news. Actually, it's counterintelligence. They did it on purpose. That's just the way they do things. They know that that kind of counterintelligence will last 60, 70, 80, 100 years. They know it, and it'll get passed down generation to generation. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Then it goes on to say, hold fast. Time is moving quickly. Maybe I need to change the batteries on my clock. Men's hearts will fail them. The unrepentant will continue to mock my prophets and messengers right up until their last breath. They will blaspheme my name as judgment falls. They will continue to be in denial that – denial, boy, let me tell you that. That's where the people that see Donald Trump is saving the country. That's denial. It's denial. They will be in denial that they have been left behind to witness to the tyrant leader's plans for them. Repent. I am coming for my own. Now, this is pretty scary because they're going to – what this is implying is that the people that are left behind won't have – well, here's the thing. They're not going to have any idea that they were left behind. They're not. The only ones that hear the trumpet sound are the ones that are leaving. The rest of the Christians don't, and they're going to believe absolutely that it was Project Bluebeam because the aliens took them. But wait a minute. How can it be the aliens that took them if it's just a hologram? Oops, there's already a break in the story. All right, praise God. But anyway, to have that coming from God's Healer 7 was pretty amazing. It did leave out the fact that there's like, you know, millions more coming from one of the planets that orbit Nibiru and that are cruising and moving and all around planet Earth. That's why I call April 8th the Anunnaki eclipse. We have the evidence. We have the videos. We have the pictures of what appears to be multiple moons, but they're not multiple moons. They are multiple planets. There are seven planets that orbit Nibiru. Where exactly is Nibiru? If you are asking that question, then you shouldn't be. I beg you to stop asking that question. It doesn't make any difference. The only question you really need to be asking yourself is whether or not you are have no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that you are holy and without a blemish. We need to pray together in the name of Jesus, and I want to do this every single time. There are more than two of us, and my Bible says, and I hope yours does too, praise God, and then hold on a second, the room here, so fiddle faddle sticks, there it is. Yep, there it is. Jesus, you said to us in Matthew 18, verse 19, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father. Well, Father, Lord Jesus, we are on the earth. It's indisputable. We have no doubt about it. And we praise you. We understand that we operate in the courts of heaven. That which is bound on earth is bound in heaven. That which is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. But Father, we stand upon this promise, Lord Jesus, that you gave us, and we pray that you count each and every one of us worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Where? At the wedding supper. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, because that's all that's queued up right now. And that's all we should be interested in. I mean, if we want to get into all the other things, where's Planet X and follow this person and follow that? Look, I've been doing this a long time, and you know what? I'll bet you that there isn't one person on this earth that claims to know a lot about Planet X that I haven't had hours and hours of telephone conversations with. One of them I wanted to bring on the show, but he was so incredibly rude and arrogant to me. I was like, forget it. I said, well, anyway, got to go. It was nice talking to you. And I just kind of disappeared off into the background. But boy, the arrogance was like, you could eat it. You could live off of it. If you could cut it like cheese, you could live off of it. But it smelled like Limburger. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that's a great one. Anunnaki Eclipse one, love it, love it. But I'm also going to share this one from Wings of Prophecy. All right, Sister Glenda Lomax. Do not fear for your lives. A time of very intense grief approaches for my people everywhere. That's all 195 countries, 243 with the island nations. Amen. All right, and it says, my children, many events are coming that you do not know of. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm in a state of shock here. Oh, boy. Boy, do we know a lot of those, don't we? That you do not know of, and they will not be pleasant ones. Well, I don't know. I've been paying really close attention to the gain of function, the Sears, the monkeypox breakout, and the DRC, which is like thousands of people that have it now. I mean, you know, it's like now they're monkeying around with another version of COVID that's supposed to be like many times the magnitude more deadly than the original. I mean, yeah, we know it's coming. We do. Soon, great persecution of my people, both old and new, begins. Well, I think we kind of see it happening right now. I don't know about you, but when I do my doom scrolling, I see immigrants jumping on top of people's cars, smashing the windows, and killing the people in the cars, raping little children and getting away with it, and dare not you say one word or you're going to prison. They just put into prison for 5 years a woman because of she was praying outside of an abortion clinic. 5 years. Uh-huh. But anyway, praise God. So it keeps on going. It says, do not fear for your lives then. For I will come for you quickly if you lay your life down for my name's sake. Now, what Jesus is actually saying here is right about the time that you feel the steel touching your jugular from the person that's going to slice wide open your jugular. Right about the time you feel that steel moving across your jugular, Jesus is going to pull you out of your body, and you are going to be standing in your spirit body beside him, watching your dead clay body fall to the ground and bleed out. That's what he's saying, and I praise him for it. All right, hallelujah. And then he says, do not fear what man can do to you. Fear only what awaits you in your eternity if you deny me, because this cannot be undone. Prepare your spirits, children. Become strong in me and my word, that you may speak boldly in that time. That you will very soon be in your heavenly home here with me. Praise God. Now, is this applicable to every one of us? No, absolutely not. I do not believe that, not for a split second. Is it more applicable to people who live deep down in the heart of the cities and are in troubled parts of their cities already? Okay, I would say absolutely yes. Is it less applicable to the people out in the country? Well, to some degree, but it depends on how long we're going to be here. How big and spread out is the civil war that's coming going to be? Because the word that I'm getting in regard to all of that is that they're going to push, they're going to make it so these roving bands of murderous, rapist, horrible, evil, Satan-worshipping people with their horrible, evil stuff and all that, I'm telling you folks, they're coming for your little town. Jason Aldean, his little song that he had where it was like, better not happen in a small town. You know, here's the thing. It's going to happen in a small town. Anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and keep on marching through the news. Praise you, Jesus. Hold on a second. I'm looking for some. And I cannot find it. So therefore, I will plow forward. All right, I can't play much of this, but I'm going to play a little bit of this, and I'm just going to start it up. I'd like to play the whole thing, but I can't. I just can't. I tried to put it on the website so that everybody could hear it, and it's giving me an error message, and I don't know why. So I can't. I'm sorry. But this is important. So let's go ahead and play this.
That the nanotechnology is self-assembling and that it is evolving and that the amounts we see in the blood is exponentially growing. And what I mean is also the unvaccinated, because what I've been saying from the beginning is that this technology does shed, it is self-spreading, And that now these symptoms of what people call long COVID, I call it the disease of self-assembling nanotechnology, because these technologies, they can contain payloads, but they can also assemble into technology. And one of the things that you and I have discussed a lot is the idea of hacking humans and making cyborgs, creating automatons. And now in my research, I've been documenting self-assembling mesogens. What are these? So these are DNA-like biosensors that are also literally able to create antennas. They are able to genetically modify people. They are able to act in a way that is truly this brain-computer interface. The fusion of humanity is happening. So those that are heavily shedded upon are also affected. And it's important to understand, if we want to save the natural human species that is unmodified, then these are topics that we have to address.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now.
All right, so that is actually 41 minutes long. They get into an awful lot of detail, but you really did hear in that intro the crux of the matter. What they have been doing over all this time is studying the nanobots and what they're doing. What are they building? What are they up to? Where are they going? You know, are they messing with the actual genes? Are they messing with the actual DNA? What are they constructing? All that kind of stuff. And what they're seeing is horrific. It's really, really horrific. And then the part about it spreading to other people through the shedding thing, which I didn't used to believe in, but I've seen enough medical reports on how all this is supposed to work. I don't know. But anyway, so if you are married to somebody who's, you know, a meathead and wouldn't listen to you, and went out and got the shot, and then, of course, a couple of boosters, and they're still around shedding all over you. You're going to want to get – oh, dagnabbit. Okay, hold on a second. There we go. You're going to get this is hard to see. You're going to want to get berberine with turmeric in it. Okay, and you want to get the big bottle of 240 pills, 1,500 milligrams, and you're going to want to take, I take three of them. Okay, it says two, but I take three. All right, so you got that. All right, then you are also going to want to get yourself some bromelain. Okay, and that's the, so the bromelain is 1,000 milligram bromelain, 2,400 GDU. I do not know what that stands for of the others. And it is a combination of bromelain and I'm trying to see the other thing here that's in it. Bromelain and one other thing. Oh, come on. There's something else in here, isn't there? Well, maybe not. Maybe it's just the bromelain. And then the other one is natokinase, okay, and that's a funky spelling one. It's N as in Nancy, A-T-T-O, K as in kilowatt, I, N as in Nancy, A-S-E, natokinase. 4,000, they have a bottle, it's not expensive, 120 capsules, and it's 4,000 FU. And no, I'm not cussing at you. I was just letting you know what it says. All right, praise God. And I take a couple of those every day as well. Now, I just got a notification from the expert on this subject. It's West Coast Walder. Some quercetin in some of the bromelain. Quercetin. But I already have quercetin. I thought I had the quercetin in this, though. Wait a minute. Proteolytic. Bromelain. I know I have other ingredients now. I thought for sure. No. All right, so I'm not going to worry about it. I got quercetin in there with some other stuff, so I'm not too concerned about all that. Actually, I don't have anybody shedding on me. So, quite frankly, I'm not worried about it at all. What I'm doing is I'm doing a parasite cleanse, with ivermectin and fenbendazole. So I'm taking 1444 fenbendazole in the morning and 1 12-milligram ivermectin in the morning. Then I'm taking 2 wormwood and black walnut combined in the morning. And 1 clove. Yes, I am taking whole cloves, you know, that you cook with. And I take a whole clove, I put it with the pills, and I pop it all in my mouth, and I swallow it. And I do it again later in the afternoon, and that chases pretty much. I also used a bottle of Scram, S-C-R-A-M. And the Scram, now I'm through with that bottle. I'm done with that. The Scram goes after the parasites that are intestinal in nature. The fenbendazole and the ivermectin goes after the parasites that are the kind that get into your, you know, your spinal cord and inside your lungs and other parts of your vital organs and things like that. So I'm going to wipe the bottle out. It's 120 capsules, so I'm going to, that's 2 days, that's 60 days. So I'm going to be on the fenbendazole for 60 days and probably about the same with the, because there's, let's see how the ivermectin is. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 per thing. That'd be 10 times 10. So, yeah. So half of that would be 50. Yeah, it ought to come out about, I should be about done with all of them about the same time, roughly, give or take. But anyway, that's what I'm doing. I just decided, look, I've had enough of this stuff. I'm done with it. And so I decided I was going to, and I thought I might have some side effects, you know, but no, none at all. None at all. I've had so many people tell me about side effects when you're on an anti-parasite regimen and you're getting rid of them all and killing them off, that you get side effects and this might happen or that might happen. And no, nothing. No side effects at all. So I just put it here with my morning regimen, which is mostly detox stuff and whatever. And bada bing, bada boom, praise God. So I'll be, here's the thing. If I could have a boulder fall down from the sky and smash me on the head and kill me and let me go home to heaven, I would take it. But what I don't want are complications. I don't want a stroke because then I'm waiting for Jesus to come. No, thank you. I don't want anything that's going to incapacitate me or inconvenience me, which, by the way, comes along with the knee surgery and everything else. So anyway, and I'm sure most everybody else feels that way. I mean, some people that are a little bit younger in their walk in Christ may be very much afraid of dying. I am not afraid of dying. If the Lord wanted to take me home now, the only reason I can think that he might want me to be around is to punish me for talking so much about leaving. Maybe it's a form of chastening or whatever. So anyway, I'm going to play this little ditty from This Is Alex Jones Apologizing. This is as bummed out as I think as I have ever seen him. Okay, so I'm going to play a little bit of this. Here we go.
I want to apologize to everybody, and I mean that. I want to apologize I didn't do more back when we probably could have stopped this. I want to apologize I wasn't more focused. I want to apologize I wasn't more dedicated. I want to apologize I wasn't more urgent. But I only say that to be honest with you. When I point a finger at you, there's 3 more back at me. You need to apologize to yourself. Apologize to your family. Because we're not getting out of this now. I did everything I could to stop this. And now I've got to give you the bad news. And I've got to give my family the bad news. I've given my wife the bad news. That we're going to be chewed up by the New World Order now. And what matters is your relationship with God. What matters is that you prepare spiritually for this and physically. And the evidence is overwhelming. They'll be destroyed in the process. They will be defeated as well. They're Satan's pimps. Of course they will. It doesn't lessen the fact of how horrible this is. And I apologize for having to give you this bad news. But I don't think you even need me to tell you to you. So, good times are over. It's like that song from The Doors. It's all over for the unknown soldier. The war is over for the unknown soldier. But understand, if they bring in martial law and they win this war, they are going to take your children from you if you survive. They're going to mutilate them and torture them with drugs and cut their breasts and genitals off because they're Hellraiser cult leaders. Imagine there was a cult running around that grabbed kids and cut their genitals off. You're like, God, they're the worst cult ever, worse than MS-13. But it's the government's like, oh, it's liberal. So now let's do what it takes to stop this. Let's not comply with anything the system says. The social contract's broken. Let's warn everybody 24/7. Let's physically get ready and spiritually get ready, and let's expose their operations on every front. And ask God, not what you want. This is my opinion. You can take it or leave it. I don't ask God in prayers, except occasionally, maybe 1 out of 100 prayers, I'll say, and please protect my children. If that's your, you know, that's your plan, that's your will, but whatever happens, I understand. I just ask God, will you please give me discernment? I am a weak, broken creature. I'm a sinner. Can you please, I have free will, but I ask you to come into me, and I ask you to lead God and direct me, and I ask you to sanctify me and help me be a good person. Of course, God still says, that's up to you. You have free will, but I will give you the discernment. I will give you the path if you want to follow it. God shows the way like a light. You have to follow the path, and the path is very rough, but when you get through it, you realize it was the only path through. So there are a lot of people who want to bargain with the system. They want to bargain with the New World Order. They want to bargain with the cults. They want to play all sides. They want to be friends with everybody. That way leads to total destruction. The path through this to victory is hard and painful and brutal, and you'll feel like you're outnumbered. You'll feel like you're losing, but in the end, you win.
Father, we pray in Jesus' name, where two or more are on the earth in agreement together. You'll give it to us, Father. You will answer that prayer, and we pray that you pray always to be found worthy, to be counted worthy, to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before you at the wedding supper. And we will pray it every day for one another. Pray for each other. Pray for the lost people in the world. Pray, 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 pray. Believe me, God loves it. Loves it. All right, praise God. And that's who we need to. We want to be pleasing our Heavenly Father now more than ever, more than anything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Next one up. Mass number of migrants are United Nations soldiers. Now, I could go ahead and play these two well-dressed gentlemen having a conversation back and forth between one another, you know, dressed up like news anchors, et cetera, talking back and forth. Okay, I'm just going to give you the gist of it to save time. So they've been paying closer and closer and closer attention to the migrant population moving across the various borders. And a new thing surfaced. Now, of course, they had the Chinese soldier thing that they, you know, that was that bubbled up to the top and became a big, 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 big deal. Well, now the next big, 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 big deal is a bunch of them, very large percentage of them evidently, are actually soldiers who work for the United Nations, which doesn't surprise me a bit because it was Ken Peters, which I highly recommend that you should go watch. Go watch it. If you haven't watched it, go watch it now. Stop everything. Just go watch it. Well, okay, wait until the show's over and then go watch it. But go to YouTube. It's still there. And you type in Ken Peters Tribulation. Ken Peters Tribulation. Okay, guess what it has in it? UN soldiers. Folks, we're literally seeing the painting. It's like an artist. It's like God or maybe an archangel is painting like a tapestry of the end times biblical timeline. All the stuff that has been shown in prophecies, dreams, and visions for the last, my goodness gracious, 80 years is being painted in technicolor right before our very eyes. We are seeing it happen. We're not just watching a YouTube video from Ken Peters. We're seeing it happen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Another headline reads, barge crash. So we have yet another barge crash. I've got a scan all the way in here. Let me see if it's going to give me grief or not. No, it didn't. Praise the Lord. It says, here we go again. It says, breaking news. Barge strikes bridge in Galveston, Texas, partially collapsing rail line and closing the only road to a small island. So we got another barge that's crashed into a bridge. Sure does seem like an awful lot of them things have been happening. Must be the Chinese. I heavily doubt that, folks. My two cents is it's coming out of Langley. Anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, what I'm going to play, I'm just doing these in order as I plugged them into the show notes. I'm going to play a man. It's from a company called Double Down News, and they're interviewing this man. And this man is an actual World War II Holocaust survivor. And this is what he has to say. Has over 2.8 million views. I'm going to go ahead and double-click it, and we'll listen to at least a little bit of it. I don't know how long it goes.
As a Holocaust survivor, that the genocide in Gaza is not happening in my name and in our name. The way that the Israeli government is using the memory of the Holocaust in order to justify what they are doing to the Gazans is a complete insult to the memory of the Holocaust. It's an outrage. When I saw the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations putting on a yellow star, or stomach-turning, somebody who had to wear a yellow star like myself and my entire family, I'm insulted by that. What distinguishes the Jewish...
Stephen Kapos is his name.
It's industrial scale and industrial methods being applied. And what has been happening to Gaza is similar in that the scale of the bombing and the indiscriminate nature of the bombing, the complete lack of care about children and women being the majority of the victims amounts to industrial scale of genocide. The painting of the Palestinian people as worthless, almost animal-like by the description of some of the leaders.
Okay, I'm going to stop playing this right now. Yes, the Palestinians are still shooting missiles. Yes, Hezbollah up in Lebanon is still shooting missiles. Blah, 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 blah. But what's happening in Gaza is not something that a normal human being can repeat without having... You would probably need counseling. If you saw what I have seen, you would probably need counseling. I'm not kidding. Not kidding. Not good. All right. Praise God. As a matter of fact, that segues into one of the images that were shown in this guy's testimony. Children and families hugging each other as they're being dug out of their mass graves. They were buried alive and piled on top of one another, and they were all hugging each other and crying as they were having bulldozers push dirt over them. But anyway, pay no attention. Oh, and heaven forbid you say anything in the United States that, is not – praise be to Israel. Keep on bombing them, kill them, murder them, slice them. I have a video of a IDF soldier, no doubt a Babylonian Talmud believing soldier, and he's quite proud of the fact that he held little babies, many of them, by their hair while they were screaming, and took a very sharp knife and cut their heads off one by one by one by one by one by one by one. And he's just explaining it to you on the video. They are told in the Talmud that they are animals, and it's just a horrible, horrible thing. Now, I'm not going to talk about this anymore. I've had it up to here with this whole thing. I wish it wasn't happening, but it is. There are plenty of really, 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 really good bloodline Jewish people, just like the man you heard testifying right now about the Holocaust. They are from the original 12 tribes, okay? But those are not the ones from Khazaria. They are not the ones that are running the show. They are not the shapeshifters that are the horrible Talmudic evil. Oh, my gosh. If I read to you, and I can, but I won't, but if I read to you some of the passages in the Talmud, you probably A, would never listen to this show again. B, you would probably have horrific dreams. You might need medication. And you would have the crystal clear answer as to why there were underground tunnels built in the various synagogues in downtown Manhattan, with connecting underground tunnels going over to Jeffrey Epstein's operation, and the reason why they pulled various child-sized high chairs and mattresses stained with various body stuff. Okie dokie. Well, anyway, we are now officially done with that particular discussion. What is happening right now is unbelievable. When you see a 9-foot-tall Draco reptilian named Hillary Clinton, part of the Rodham family, one of the most sinister, evil, blood-drinking, adrenochrome, baby-murdering, blood-sacrifice, fallen angel families that have ever walked the face of the earth, voting on the destruction of Gaza, voting on Netanyahu's government, voting them on, keep on murdering, keep on killing, keep on killing. Look at what is Trudeau wanting them to do? What's Trudeau want them to do? What does Hillary want them to do? What are the most evil people alive on the earth voting for? You know what? If you're watching Satan clap, when you're watching Satan clap as something is happening over there, you need to stop, pause, and regroup. But it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. Read Psalm 91. 1,000 will fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left, but you will see the reward of the wicked. Okay? We're going to see these things, and it's not going to be pleasant. But the beautiful thing about it is we are part of the Godhead. Jesus said in John 10:34, have I not said ye are gods? In Psalm 82, it says that, have I not called you children of the Most High, sons of God, but ye shall die like men? Well, a minor god cannot die like a man, period, unless they incarnate into a human body. We are spirit beings of light and love trapped inside of human bodies. For the time being. And this is not our kingdom. We do not fight. We are light and love. We keep our minds stayed on things above. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, called out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. We are not friends with the earth, because if we were friends with the earth, we'd be at enmity with God. James 4:4. We're not part of this. We pray. We are ambassadors of fervent prayer. There is nothing in the world, nothing in the universe wrong with saying, Dear Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you will send angels into the spiritual realm to stand side by side with those who are about to lose their life this day. At the time that they lose their life, Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that they yank the soul, or they yank the spirit body from the demons of darkness, and they give them another chance to take Jesus as their Lord and Savior before they are led into the pit. Okay, you can pray that way. There's nothing stopping you. See, the problem with Christians is that they make up reasons not to do things that they could otherwise do. Oh, it says this in the Bible. It says that in the Bible. No, it never says you can't do something. You are assuming something because of a particular scripture. Well, a man is supposed to live once and then face judgment. But it says nothing about what happens over the one-hour period that body is transitioning into a spirit body and the demon is waiting to take it away. It says nothing about the details of that. This drives me crazy how churchianity creates dispensationalism. Why do they do it? For the purpose of giving you permission to sin. The reason why they believe in dispensationalism is so that they can defend their ability to sin. But I can only do so much. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So let me take a quick look at this. How corrupt is our government? This asks Congressman Tim Burchett says if anyone were to leak where the money goes when the Pentagon fails their audits, they would be murdered. The Pentagon has billions of dollars that they hide. We don't ask for any account of. They never pass an audit. They've never passed an audit in the history of audits. I've often said the only way we're going to get them to the bottom line is that somebody's going to have to walk out of one of these labs with this information and put it out on the internet before they commit suicide by shooting themselves in the back of the head five times. This is a Congressman Tim Burchett talking about of the United States government and how evil it is being run at the top. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Next one. Oh, hold on. Let me look here. Israel strikes Rafah ceasefire. Okay. Yeah, I don't know why that has a link. I'm not going to worry about it. Next one up. Okay. Reuters reports Israel strikes eastern Rafah as the ceasefire ends talk with no deal. And we talked about that quite a few shows ago. Every time they came up with a agreeable ceasefire, I mean, Hamas came right out and said, we'll give you every single one of the hostages. Netanyahu canned it. Nope, ain't going to do it. Nope, ain't going to do it. Nope, ain't going to do it. There's one person out of 8 billion on this earth that has decided there would not be a ceasefire. And his name is Netanyahu. It's a fact. All right. So it is what it is. All right. Next one up. Operation Packet Keeper with United Nations troops. Okay. That's what they call. I'm sorry. It's Peacekeeper, not Packet Keeper. Operation Peacekeeper with United Nations troops. Okay. UN troops to be deployed across the United States as the Pentagon prepares for civil unrest. Operation Peacekeeper is unveiled. So they go on and they talk all about all the different people, the different countries that have contributed soldiers to the United Nations Peacekeeper operation. They're deployed in major cities all over the United States and also hotspots for civil unrest. Okay, and it's all about putting the country under martial law. Of course, they weave lying language into the text to try to to calm you down a little bit. We're really about peace. We're only going to do good things. They're very good about telling everybody, look, the United Nations peacekeepers are going to be taking orders from the local police force, and nothing bad's going to happen. They're here for your own good. Yada yada blah 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. All right. Okay, next one. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Operation Peacekeeper. All right. Why did the pandemic treaty stall? It stalled for a couple of days. Why did it stall? Let's hear this.
Congratulations to you, social media world. People who give a damn about other human beings. Gosh, what a shocking concept. Thanks to you, the amendments to the pandemic treaty have broken down. Now, they've broken down for now. They're going to meet at the end of May and potentially think about something for the 1st of June. But there's two sticking points that they can't agree on, and the two sticking points are shocking. Sorry there about the camera wobble. They are how they lock us down and how they restrict us. Now, they're so excited. If they weren't planning on doing this, if they weren't planning on locking us down, they wouldn't be arguing the toss over it, right? So we've been told it's a conspiracy theory. Oh, there's not going to be any climate lockdowns. You know, that's not why we're building 15-minute city prisons with cameras everywhere. I noticed in the UK, by the way, everyone is spraying the camera part of the surveillance state with the St. George's flag, white with a red cross. And I just don't know how you're doing that. They're so high up. Anyway, humorous. So it's not a conspiracy theory because it's already been discussed that they can call a pandemic of climate change, which will be ongoing and forever. it will be the end of our lives. Now, they may still allow us, although a lot of the restrictions are about censorship on social media. So, you know, again, not a conspiracy theory. Gosh, it's weird, isn't it? People are starting to contact me and go, oh, you said that 3 years ago and it's come true. You said that 2 years ago and it's come true. Yeah, I try not to say things I haven't got information about. So here we go. They're going to, they plan to, they wish to. It's their aspiration to permanently lock us down to save the planet. Now, you can imagine if you argue with that, what an absolute asshole you're going to look. So you better listen up, right? If you've got a business that's a restaurant or cafe or a holiday home, an Airbnb, or you're a taxi driver, or a chef or a cook or any of that stuff, they wish your life, your job, your position in this world to be over.
All right, praise God. Now, the next one I have here for you, praise Jesus, and I know this is disturbing because, folks, we are getting very close, really, 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 really close. It's kind of like a miracle, but, you know, how are they going to lock us down? FEMA camps, take us away, bust down our front doors, forced injections. Have you thought about it? Okay, I do. I think about it. All right. Attorney, this guy is an attorney and a Green Beret. His name is Ivan Ralkin. And it says I need to play it from the 2 minute and 30 second mark to the 5 minute mark. Because it's Twitter, it doesn't have the little auto start, so I'm going to have to fiddle faddle with it. Give me a second. 2 minute and 30 second mark. Hold on just a second. Wait a minute. Here we go.
I didn't know. Target list from number. They bring me in. I didn't provide you much detail on. They were the ones also involved in the original illegal crossfire hurricane spying operation on General Flynn, Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, and Paul Manafort. I have receipts on every single individual. That's why they haven't really come after me yet, because if they bring me in, the entire regime comes crumbling down. Okay? So they are scared of me, not the other way around.
That makes more sense. You... On your Twitter bio, I noticed today it said Secretary of Retribution.
Yep. That means that I will guarantee consequences for a list of at least 350 individuals that are on my deep state target list.
Okay.
And when you read that deep state target list, remember I'm an attorney and a retired Green Beret. Okay?
Then I know. Well, me, that I might be interested in talking with you more about is your deep state target list. If you have time.
Elon Musk has it. Michael Schellenberger has it. Matt Taibbi has it.
Mm-hmm.
The Judiciary Committee has it. The Weaponization Committee has it. The Oversight Subcommittee that is part of the House Administration Committee has it.
Mm-hmm.
The House Freedom Caucus has it. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, likely has it. And it's just a matter of time for a joint press conference to take place between Speaker Johnson and Elon Musk to go ahead and disclose and release the Twitter direct messages of those individuals on my deep state target list, proving the seditious conspiracy going back to 2016,
mm-hmm.
the illegal spying operation on the Trump campaign. You're also going to find the involvement of Mike Pence and his chief of staff, Joshua Pitcock, in that conspiracy, along with Josh Pitcock's wife, Catherine Seaman, who was the senior Russia analyst for Peter Strzok, who was one of the two individuals that was deployed by Jim Comey and Andrew McCabe to get General Flynn to lie or to get him fired, as per Bill Priestap's notes, which was the deputy assistant director of counterintelligence at the FBI.
All right, so you can see this guy's pretty darn determined to take the information that he has and bring it forward. The question is, how long does he live? We've seen the Slovakian president killed. He defied the World Economic Forum publicly, said, I'm not playing these games. I'm not doing any things that you are telling us we need to do. We're not going into any more lockdowns. We're not playing any more pandemic games. And I was like, pow, pow. right in the middle, you know, right out to right in the middle of the open street, shot him. And I believe at least the last time I checked, he was still fighting for his life. These were the same things that the Prime Minister of Japan was assassinated for. He told everybody to pack up all these deadly vials of poison, get rid of them. He sent 1.6 million vials of poison back to them, and then he handed out ivermectin to the population. Next thing you know, bam, bam, he's killed in the middle of the street. So there are people that are being shot all over the place. Now, when I told you about 3, 4, 5 years ago, I called them the Global Satanic Crime Syndicate. I told you that's how they operate. Okay, that is how they operate. The cool thing about it is they get mad enough at me and they pam-pam me, I'm going to be happy as a lark. And for those of you out there that were very kind and, you know, were a little too kind. As a matter of fact, Chamil, it makes me feel bad a little bit, you know, when you say, I mean, I know you mean it in a good way and everything, but, you know, brother, there's going to come a time when the lights go out and you're not going to be able to depend on me being on these shows. Praise God. So anyway, so we all need to, you know, face reality. I mean, we're heading very rapidly in. I mean, when you think about it, we're really one faked cyber attack away right now from them forcing the digital IDs on us. Like I told you, when our phones finally come back on, it's probably going to be a big fat red screen that says you cannot log into your phone unless you sign up for the digital ID. And you know what people are going to do, don't you? Going to sign up for the digital ID because they're going to need their phone. Now, see, I'm not really all that worried about the digital ID. Big darn deal. Okay, I just don't want any of that graphene oxide garbage crawling around inside me, nanobotting me to death. Okay, so that's the one thing I don't like. And then, of course, CBDCs. Boy, oh boy, when that stuff happens, you can believe people are going to the streets. You can believe people are going to the streets. All right, next headline up. According to the latest information, 13 people were killed in the Ukrainian attack on a high-rise building in Belgorod, while over 30 were injured, the Ministry of Health in Belgorod region announced. Now, this was several days ago, but nevertheless, the Russians are exceedingly angry about it. I chose my words carefully because there are much more apropos words that I could have used to describe the level of anger that we're dealing with at the Russian Federation Defense Ministry. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Admitting gain of function. So here we have United States. I'm trying to look for the guy's name. Don't see it. Wuhan. No, I don't know why I'm not seeing the name of the guy on the display. It might be my fault. I captured it at the wrong time, but that's okay. This guy was one of the guys. I think he's from the, the Eco-Somethings Health Alliance or something like that, and he's being deposed on he's one of the ones that took the money in proxy to give to the Wuhan lab and all that kind of stuff. Let's listen to what he says to the interrogating lawmaker. Quite interesting, by the way. You can believe Rand Paul's all excited.
Did NIH fund gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology through Echo Health?
It depends on your definition of gain-of-function research. If you're speaking about the generic term, yes, we did. But this is research. The generic term is research that goes on in many, many labs around the country. It is not regulated, and the reason it's not regulated is it poses no threat or harm to anybody.
Dr. Tabak, did NIH fund...
All right, so much for that. All right, Oregon health officials monitor impact of the latest COVID-19 variant that has been released already. It's called FLIRT, F-L-I-R-T. Health officials believe the new variant is slightly less responsive to the current COVID-19 vaccine, which would mean that it was less than zero because there was nothing, not one thing good about the, well, we already know that, so why repeat the obvious all over and over and over again, right?
You're good.
I know.
Thanks, Captain Obvious. I was on a totally different track.
Exactly. Digital ID passes in Australia. Well, you heard the young lady talking a little bit earlier. She has a podcast, too. Everybody has a podcast. Everybody's kids have podcasts. Their kids' kids have podcasts. Their grandchildren have podcasts. Everybody has a podcast. Sally has a podcast. Joe has a podcast. Bob has a podcast. Willie has a podcast. Jeremy has a podcast. Everybody has a podcast. Bill, it's okay. You know, it's all right. It's cool. Because nobody talks about the stuff that we do they? No, they don't. And that's okay because, I'm not going to get into it. Anyway, so Australia has just been mandated into the Artificial Intelligence World Society via the digital ID. Okay, and they're talking about it right here. It says the Digital Identity Bill 2024 has passed through the House of Representatives. The bill will now be presented to the Governor General for the Royal Assent, where it will officially become law in Australia. Praise God. And Jeremy, I was just borrowing your name there. I know you don't have a podcast. But maybe tomorrow, right? All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Next one up. Fox News reports the Vatican preparing for guidelines for apparitions and other supernatural phenomenon. So they're getting ready in the next couple of days to come out and talk about what do we do? What do we do when we bump into apparitions? What do when we see men that we've been delivering things to for years in garages turn around and look at us and their eyes are solid black? What do we do? How do we handle the gigantic Independence Day-sized spaceships coming down out of the sky? Well, they're going to tell us. It ought to be quite interesting. Next one up. U.S. government approves experiment to create type of bird flu that could kill millions of people. Hey. I wonder if that's right down the road from my house. Oh, well. Anyway, millions. Kill millions. Unlike the vaccination, which already killed tens of millions, Cuba's financial system completely collapsed, okay? And they had people just this morning that were standing by the ATMs, could not get any cash out, absolutely paralyzed, no food, no nothing, crying in the streets, the whole deal. Whether or not that is a total collapse as of yet, at the time of the writing of this article, had not been determined. Next one up. 100,000 people at a New Jersey Trump rally, and this is several days ago, but I wanted to bring it up because May 11th, and the reason is because it was a very small venue, and they crammed in 100,000 people. Okay, so that is very, very noteworthy for all of us to take, oh, by the way, I wanted to mention this. If you don't think that the other countries' leaders are watching to see if Trump gets elected, then you're making a big mistake. Okay? They are. If you ask yourself, why hasn't Jordan attacked so-and-so? Why hasn't Turkey attacked Israel? Why hasn't Lebanon done a full-scale war action on Israel? Why hasn't this happened? Why hasn't that happened? Why hasn't Yemen, who has threatened a gazillion times to march their troops straight into Israel, done anything yet except blow up some ships? Okay? Why? Because every one of them is watching to see if Donald Trump gets elected. Why would they do that? Because they don't like aircraft carriers. They don't like aircraft carriers. They hate them. And they know the people that elect them hate them too. And if there's any chance that Trump gets elected and it stops, even if he's wrong about what he says, even if he, all this stuff and things that annoy the heck out of many of us, even it doesn't matter. Everyone is watching to see what happens because they don't want a Babylonian aircraft carrier slaughtering their children. Next one up. BRICS prepares for the United States dollar's collapse, the International Monetary Fund warns. And when that happens, look out, because the IMF, they're at the tippity top. The World Bank and the IMF are like, you know, global partners, for managing the petrodollar and more, all right, and also imprisoning other countries like Ecuador and murdering people with CIA jackals and all the other creepy weird stuff they do. All right, next headline up. Belgian newspaper says that they must prepare for war. So I got not one, but two separate clippings from a newspaper, from Belgium, from a friend of mine over in Belgium, letting me know that they are telling everybody, and they are. I mean, it's like on TV, it's on radio. I mean, they're not hiding it. They're literally coming out and saying, we all need to start stocking up on food. Get yourself some extra Krispy Kreme donuts, you guys, because we got to prepare for war. That's Belgium. And you can, if you throw a baseball even half-heartedly across Antwerp, it'll go completely into another country. Belgium is like one of the world's smallest countries ever. Okay, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Next one up. EU shifts towards war economy, according to officials. So now it's not just Belgium. It's the whole European Union, which, of course, Belgium is part of. The only one that's a little bit of a rebel is the United Kingdom. Next one up. Praise God. Emergency. California declares an emergency, a public health emergency, after tuberculosis has sickened 14 people. The problem with tuberculosis is that it is exceedingly contagious. So if somebody with tuberculosis comes coughing, wheezing, and sneezing in your room, oopsie daisy, time to go get a test. Time to go get a test. Next one up. Iran warns it will change nuclear doctrine if existence is threatened. But who cares about that? Because they already came out. One of the Iranian parliament members of parliament, or they call them MPs, has come forward and said that they believe that they already have nuclear weapons. Another headline up. Praise God. This is Slovakian Prime Minister shot in the street. This was the guy, Robert Fico, who was telling he rejected the World Health Organization Global Pandemic Treaty, and he doesn't want nothing to do with it. Pow, pow. Expect lots of that kind of stuff to happen. Lots of it to happen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, next one up. Putin says arrogant West risking global conflict in Victory Day speech, which, of course, is very true. And, in fact, I'm going to give him a thank you, Captain Obvious. You know what I mean? Anyway, Bank of Canada is collapsing. The Bank of Canada, brace yourselves for a financial collapse. Some indicators of the financial stress have risen. At the same time, the valuations of some financial assets appear to become stretched. This could increase the risk of a sharp correction that could generate system-wide stress. The recent rise in the use of leverage in non-banking financial institutions could amplify the effects of such a correction. Okay, so basically they're saying, look out, Bank of Canada, next one up. Next one up. King of Spain accuses Israel of genocide. So people are ganging up. They actually put a list of all the people and how they voted in the United Nations, and it was amazing. It was the United States and Israel against the whole world. Imagine that. The United States and Israel against the whole world. Now, Egypt threatens to cancel the accords. Egypt has issued a dire warning to the United States and threatening to cancel the Camp David Accords unless the Israeli occupation forces withdraw from Rafah and return to the negotiation table now. Think it's going to happen? Anybody want to make a bet? Okay. Elon Musk says 2024 will be the last election that actually decided by American citizens. Well, American citizens hacked the Dominion voting machines, stuffed ballot boxes, liars, liars, pants on fires. But, yeah, Trump will probably still win. All right, next one up. Okay, oh, yeah, so this one here. So we'll take a quick listen to this. It's quite short. This is an expert talking about the poisoning of atrazine in kids' lunches and such like that. Here we go.
I packed her bag for school lunch every morning, and I gave her a big freezer Ziploc bag. I told her to go through the line, get her food, bring it back to the table, dump it all in the Ziploc bag, make sure it's sealed real good, and put it in your backpack. Eat your lunch I made you. And she did that. I had her do it for 5 days. I sent all that information. I'm a retired paramedic from Miami, so I've got friends that I played golf and tennis with in Miami that own the spinners, you know, where they spin blood and stuff. And I contacted my guy and sent it to him. And the result was atrazine. So on this clip you're looking at, the guy I stitched with is talking about that. If you think about it, that's really when all of this started. They were putting atrazine in the Michelle Obama, a.k.a. Michael LeVon Robinson's food program all over the country. That's what happened. That's my story. I'm sticking to it, and I got receipts. I've been saying this shit since 2009, and not one Soro Toro or Obama has sued me.
All right. So it turns out Michael, Big Mike Obama, has, when that entity of filth instituted a school lunch program, behind the scenes, they were injecting the food with atrazine. They've been doing it for a very, very long time. If you go to tribulationnow.com or tribulation-now.org, you can find it's a mothership. There's a mothership shooting a red laser at the ground. Now, you got to look very carefully. You can see the mothership's lights, and you can see it's extremely large. We're talking about an Independence Day kind of thing. This isn't fake. This isn't some hologram. This isn't some Project Blue Beam fake counterintelligence. This is the real deal. I said before that the stuff that happened in Maui was an alien mothership, and I was right, and here's the proof. So go and take a look at tribulationnow.com or tribulation-now.org or whatever, and look at the mothership hovering above the earth and shooting extremely powerful directed energy laser weapons. In this case, it is a red colored laser. All right. So it's right there for you to look at 100 times if you want to be convinced. Excuse me. Next one up, Iranian lawmakers say that they have nukes. So their lawmakers are coming forward. They are talking about it on Fox News. It is two people from the United States, not one of the people from Iran. I don't know if I believe either of them. I don't care if I believe either of them. I have said for years that I believe that Iran has had possession of nukes. How could they give away millions and millions of dollars worth of incredible war machinery to Iran? I'm sorry, the Russian Federation, and not get something in return? Come on. Anyway, BRICS has two new countries joining up with them. Erdogan says that Netanyahu has reached a level of genocide that would make him and that Hitler jealous of him. Graham says that we have to nuke Gaza, and he's been all over the news, telling Netanyahu, nuke him, come on, nuke him, and he's a reptilian. You know he's a reptilian. He has to be a reptilian. The UK data shows that the vax people have had 1 million deaths, and the unvaxxed people only had 61,000. That's a 61% more people have died when they were vaccinated. 42 dairy herds have bird flu in the United States. What a great excuse to put them to death. I'm filling up my apocalyptic freezer with lots of really good beef. Graphene oxide in dental shots. So when you got to go into the dentist, then they got to say, oh, a little bit of Novocaine for you. Tap, 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 tap. Oh, this is going to sting a little bit. And you're going like, oh, goody, goody. That's just what I needed, some more nanobots injected into my body. Congo is suffering the biggest monkeypox outbreak in history. I forget what they said. It was it 14,000? I'm trying to remember the number. It was a big, big, big number. I don't know. I can't find the number. I'm looking. I'm scanning it. I'm skimming it. I don't see it. But anyway, it's the biggest, most, and it's ultra-infectious, and the CDC has all kinds of reports out. Worry, worry, be afraid, scared, lock everything up, stay in your house, never leave it again, all that kind of whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, on that note, let's go ahead and bring on Brother Robert Vandreas Mitchell. Praise God. And it sure did take every bit of, yep, as much time as I imagined. Here we go.
Hello, Brother John. Hello.
Hello, Brother Rob. Good evening. How are you?
Yeah, you too. I'm right. Okay, thanks. Say again?
Good. I'm not saying
all right.
anything at all. I'm listening.
All right. I must say, quite a full show with all the things you have said so far. So, yes. But then a lot is happening. And who is the lady, who is the British lady that talked about the pandemic treaty? Because
She lives in Australia, but she's British. And she has a podcast called The White Rabbit.
All right. But she is correct, and I am glad that more people are starting to wake up about it, because it is so insidious what they try to get through. I only wish that more countries also would say, no way, and we don't take it, like Slovakia. But did you say that the president was shot, that he died, or is he still fighting for his life?
Well, why don't we search? Let's see. Slovakian Prime Minister.
Yeah, because I haven't heard he died, but he was fighting for his life, I heard. But
BBC is still saying attempted murder, so
all right.
It looks like he's still hanging on. Yeah.
Yes, and also another thing.
Reuters. I was just going to let you know that Reuters said that he is no longer in threatening condition.
All right. Good. That's good to hear. And, yeah, because he also said, I think this week or last week, that he is not going to cooperate with the World Health Organization on the pandemic treaty, among other things. So, and also he said that to the World Economic Forum as well. And then suddenly he gets killed. Sorry, if you cannot see a connection, then you must be very blind or to have no brain cells at all, because the same happened also, if I'm correct, with the Japanese prime minister or president that also said something, and he was also killed, although they killed him. And so, yeah, you cannot tell me that there is no connection there.
No, and nor would I at such an impossible task. but we have seen a precedent set, and that precedent is when you are in any type of a leadership or power position at all, and you publicly renounce the World Economic Forum, you publicly state that you will not do CBDCs, you will not do digital IDs, you will not do this, you will not do that, and you rebuke them and you send back and you basically symbolically stick your middle finger up at them, they're going to kill you. So the precedence is set. And that's the most important part. Organized crime operates on fear. They would prefer not to have to kill so many people if they could avoid it, because it costs money. There are challenges associated with it. It's much easier for them if they can scare people by setting examples, and they certainly have done that.
Yes. And also, the Slovakian president also said that he is not going to send money and supplies to the Ukraine. So this goes against what NATO wants, because NATO wants this war with Russia. So that was another point as well that he didn't go along with, thank God. And so, yeah, but I'm glad he is still alive and that he is at least out of danger by the sound of it. And I hope that more
There was somebody else killed. There was somebody else shot. I'm sorry to interject, but I forget. But it wasn't just him. There was another person shot, and I forgot. what people were shot recently for defying the WEF, WHO treaty, etc. Let's see what it says. They do mention the Slovakian prime minister. No. Davos Dispatch, Global Risk Report. No. See, they own all this. It's all censored now. There's using search engines nowadays is like kind of a waste of time. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, because I saw, was it yesterday, that my alter Taylor, she was just scrolling the news, and she saw on a on YouTube, you got Tusi TV, but it's a Iranian who came over when he was very young with his parents to Britain, and he got now his own TV station, and he is exposing all of this. And I think it was on that station that we saw the image that the president was being shot. And you saw the security walking away from it. Well, normally the security, you have to put, in this case, the president or the PM in the car and get them in safety. But some of them you literally saw that they running the other way. So again, that also seemed to be indicating us with the Kennedy that there was something wasn't right with the security of the president of Slovakia. If you see what I mean.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just I think they set the precedent at this point. The precedent. Not president, but precedent. And I'm really kind of sort of beginning to wonder how many more. Now, I know the president of Hungary is very vocal and very much against the World Economic Forum, very much
good.
Against, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, the thing
yeah.
about it is at this point, with them popping, you know, they're killing people like crazy, left and right. Assassinations in the streets, all that kind of stuff. So I you know, and there was a third person. I don't know who that third person was, but there was a third person that was shot as well. I forget who it was, so my bad. But anyway, so we have at least two people within the last couple of days that were shot in the streets, you know, with a pistol. you know, for defying essentially the orders of the WEF, the, you know, WHO and all that kind of weirdness. So
yeah.
Anyway, I would say that that's a new trend. I think that trend's going to die out. The reason why I think it's going to die out is I believe that the people who intend to defy them are now, you know, once bitten, twice shy. You know, they've seen people getting shot in the head in the middle of the street and they're saying, I better not say what I was going to say. So there may be a paradigm shift associated with how vocal people are about defying them directly. But I don't want this to come out wrong, because it will, but I think it's kind of, if there were a bright side to it, if there were a good side to it, the good side would be that now it's overt. Defying the WEF, defying the World Health Organization, defying the treaty is an assassination death fact. It's a fact. It's not even up for grabs. It's not debatable. You're going to be shot. You're going to be shot. And I think it's important for people across the world to be aware that is the consequence for defying what it is they're trying to shove down our throats, what it is that they are successfully shoving down the whole world's throats. And it's pretty bad when you have Alex Jones. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but Alex Jones apologizing to everybody because the New World Order has essentially won and the world has been officially taken over as far as he's concerned. So we'll see if he changes his tone a couple of days from now. Who knows if he will or not. But it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. You know, Alex Jones has been doing this longer than anybody. Longer than anybody. Okay? He's the first.
Yeah.
He was the pioneer of all things conspiracy, but before Steve Quayle, before everybody. It was Alex Jones. Okay, so anyway, I think it's very important to take note of how he felt, how he was acting, the tone of his voice, what he was saying. That is ominous.
But he also should have known, if he is a deep Christian, as he always said, that God had anointed Lucifer to have his time on earth, 7 years, if I'm correct. So in the end,
You can say that if you want to, but you would be incorrect, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
The only give me a chance now, okay? I got to say, you know, it's going to take a second or two. So watch your clock. It's going to, the second hand's going to tick a little bit. Tick, 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 tick. If you put 2 billion Christians, 2 billion professed Christians together, and you take a poll, virtually, I would submit that virtually none of them have ever heard or read the Book of Revelation. They have no idea what the Olivet Discourse is about. They have no idea what 2 Thessalonians 2 is about. They have no idea why God hasn't killed Lucifer or Satan yet. No idea. They don't know anything about the end times. They don't, and most of them have not read their Bible ever, ever. And if they did try to read their Bible, they wouldn't understand it. They wouldn't understand the context of the Olivet Discourse. They wouldn't get any of it. My point is simple. It's very straightforward. Alex Jones is no different than any other Christian of today. As a matter of fact, I would bet you that some of the most popular Christians, wealthy Christians in the entire world, and I'm not going to name any names, don't even know these things. And they're probably happy to sell you their $39.95 DVD set on the Book of Revelation. But they have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea what's going to be happening. They've misinterpreted almost every single thing that they've put into their little books. And you know what? Unfortunately, all the people that bought their $39.95 DVD set are just as dumbed down as they are. So we've got a situation on a global level that is not quantifiable. It is absolutely insane. And you know what? I tip my hat to Alex Jones. I never heard him sound so Christianly in my entire life. And yes, it is a very bad, sad, super duper sad, supremely disappointing and sad thing to realize that he doesn't understand that the things that he is seeing happening all around him were things that were ordained by God. But Alex Jones is a fleshy Christian. He can't help it. He means well, but he's a very fleshy Christian. You know, if you got an armory of guns and you're going to go out in the street and shoot people to death, you are so far away from being like Christ. Words cannot describe, and I can name a lot of them. Many of which I've called up on the phone personally and said, you have got to retract what you just taught. That is not okay. That is antichrist. And let me tell you something. Made a lot of enemies real quick, because people who are church pastors and leaders and prophets who believe it's okay to shoot your way into heaven are very passionate about shooting their way into heaven.
So are you saying that he on his show, what is his name again, that we talked
Alex
about,
Jones.
That he also done, Alex Jones, that he promoted people have to take guns and things, and when they come that they have to shoot them? Is he promoting
that also to his listen? He is very big on guns.
Okay. Yeah, that is anything but Christian, to be honest, and that is what the Antichrist wants. If you give the Antichrist exactly what he wants.
Hold on a second, Robert. Okay, Are the foolish virgins Christians or not? Are the foolish virgins in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, are the foolish virgins Christians or not?
You would think so. Or hope so, I guess.
Look,
but
they're virgins. If they're virgins, they are virgins to whom? The bridegroom. Therefore, by de facto, the analogy is, yes, of course they are Christians. They're foolish ones, but they're Christians. They're cast into the Great Tribulation to get their heads chopped off as part of the tribulation saints. Okay, so there are many, 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 many groups of Christians that are different groups that think differently, behave differently, act differently, and unfortunately have to pay a very serious price for not being coming in their walk with Christ, who they should have become by reading the word themselves, seeking God on their knees, falling in love with Jesus, and learning that the Bible tells us to be like Jesus, to put him on like a garment, to keep our minds stayed on things above and not on things of this world, to have the power of Christ, to have control over people, to know that you don't need a gun because you have the name of Jesus on your side, and you can command the demon out. In the name of Jesus, get out. Okay, the problem is that is a that's the upper 1% of the class. That Christians that think like what I just said are part of the upper 1% of the class, because the other 99% are going for their guns, their knives, their pepper spray, their tasers, and everything else under the sun. And they think, and they, like it says in John 16:2, they will think that they do God a service, but they do this because they have not known the Father nor me. They do not know the love of the Father, the self-sacrificing nature of Jesus. You know, pick up, how many times does it say? At least two times in the New Testament, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Where did Jesus take his cross?
Unto the cross. So he died on the cross.
To God,
so,
to die. Yeah, to be killed. We're sheep led to the slaughter. There isn't a single place in the entire Holy Bible that says anything. People will point to the Old Testament and go, well, you know, back in the book of Hosea, you know, or back in the book of Kings, you know, this happened and that happened. And I'm like, man, you got no idea what you're talking about.
My God.
You don't even know who Jesus is.
Yes, and, yeah, it's a totally crazy clown world that we live in, and things are only getting worse. Especially this year, also with the elections coming. That is, if you're still going to have elections in the first place. But another thing, because you said about that, did you say that in the U.S. they have now a new law that will go that could make it illegal for people to grow their own vegetables and stuff?
It already is, yes. It already is illegal, yes. Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture put out a mandate that said that there will be no growing of any home gardens anywhere in the state, which, by the way, used to have the nickname the agriculture state. It used to be the most – there were more farms per square mile, more cows, more – I mean, home of the Amish, man. As far as the eye can see, all you saw was food. When I rode my bike around as a kid, 22 miles every day, 22, 23, 24 miles a day.
Wow.
It was just one hill after another of cornfields and cows and, you know, silos full of wheat and things. It was beautiful. It was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, because I could only one advice when people do still want to buy things, if they buy, let's say, seeds of all different kinds, not to pay it on cards, but pay it on cash, so long we still can have cash money in the first place, because, they try to root that out as soon as possible. But telling you have cash and you buy seeds of different kinds, just buy it with cash money. Because, yeah, you're going to buy it on your credit card. It will be traced back to you. So
yeah,
I
now they have any.
In,
there's federal anti-work law now, too. So anybody who has a few five-gallon buckets in their garage, well, better keep quiet about it. Hide it behind some things. Don't tell nobody. Because they're coming for it.
I know it is sad, but, yeah, it is a reality that we have to face. And I think they talked about here in the UK for similar laws as well, that they want to make it illegal for people to grow their own food and things like that. And, but I said I could only one advice for people, if they still want to buy seeds, just buy it with cash money, so long we still got the luxury of having cash money in the first place. Because in the way how things go, I wouldn't be as surprised that before the end of the year, they will try to root out anything connected with cash money. And that, as you said before, that they want us to go completely on electronic, on digital money.
That's what they're going to do.
And I wonder how people will react when we only going to have that, because they can say any moment when there's only digital and everything is computerized, they can say, oh, yeah, we got an electrical whatever disturbance and the computers don't work today. How will people react to that? I think people can go on the street if they have guns. God knows whatever they will do. Because I don't think that people will react well on it.
If all the power goes down, everybody's going to be worried about what's happening within the 50 feet of where they're standing. They're going to be starting their generators. They're going to try to stay cool. They're going to figure out what they're going to eat. They're going to put some sort of a battery-operated bubbler in the fish tank so the fish don't die. They're going to try to sort out a mess. They're not going to be sure how long. They're going to find out how many of the little solar gadgets that they bought don't work, which is basically all of them. Okay, and then they're going to be in a jam. And if it goes the second day, it's going to be worse. If it goes the third day, it's going to be worse. If it goes the fifth day, then guess what? Their toilets are going to stop flushing because it takes power, backup generator power, pump the water into their houses. Then the house is going to start stinking. Then they got to go out in the backyard with a shovel and they got to dig it deep. And if there's a lot of roots in the ground, like there is down here in Tampa, it's going to be next to impossible to bury things. It's going to be absolutely horrible. And that's what they're going to be worried about. And when their cell phones turn back on, when that first sign of power comes into that house, 5, 6, 7, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, dead bodies laying in the streets, houses broken into, people raped, children screaming for several weeks. When that power comes back on, they'll do anything to get things back to normal. And when that phone turns on, it'll have a big red screen on it that says you have to enter in all your personal information for the phone to be reactivated. And everybody's going to do it. And they're all going to have a digital ID with a fingerprint-based biometric second factor authenticator. It's called FIDO2.
All right.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. There ain't going to be nobody hesitating. I'll tell you that right now. And nobody's going to be sitting around going, well, I've been without power now, for the last 4 weeks, and I've got poop in my pants. And, I'm going to log into my phone. I sure is. Although if you hang out with Biden, you probably have that going on too. So.
Yes. or the defective clone of Biden, because let's be honest, it's a clone, albeit defect.
I know what's that.
But
Now, well, I'm just saying, what is that? Yeah.
The thing is that when you clone someone, and depending on the health of the original copy that you clone, so if there are already illnesses under the skin, it will be getting over onto the clone. So, the clone is only as good as the original human body. So, it's insane. We can now, two presidents, or at least two candidates as president, who are both almost in, one is in 80, I think, or 81. 80 or 81, and the other is nearly 80. So, did almost sound like Russia or the Soviet Union or China in the 1980s, if you remember, that you had those very old people in their 90s that went for president, and never expected that to see in the U.S. or in Britain if it comes to that. But still here in the U.K., they are still quite young, thank God. Not that it is a bad thing, but It is an insanity if it comes to the age. And I believe we should put an age cap on, at least for presidency and politicians in general, that if they are nearing 60, that they can go only for one term and no longer. But then again, presidents and PMs are not elected by the mail box, it's selected. So in the end, it doesn't matter what age you are, but it would be a good thing, I think, to put an age cap on around the Western world for leadership as presidents and prime ministers, so that we don't get this clown world thing that we see now with Biden and Trump, for that matter. Although, I don't think it will matter.
The cognitive ability cannot be based on age. So the cognitive ability of an individual cannot be based on age, period.
No, that's true.
Because there are people who develop Alzheimer's at the age of 50.
Yes.
So right away... using a numerical age to establish any baseline for cognitive ability is an error, significant error. Also, other than Trump being so full of pride that he can't see past his end of his nose, he is relatively cognizant. He is pretty sharp.
Yes.
It's a really bad comb over, which I know a little bit about because I'm losing my hair very rapidly. But anyway,
I can tell you something from 2006 that happened in Brussels, and an American delegation was over. And I was brought along by Lord Jacob de Rothschild and others. And that was to Brussels. And Trump was part of the American delegation. And we walked over a metal bridge, over a canal of sorts. And suddenly a wind came up out of nowhere. And the wind pulled literally Trump's hairpiece off into the water. I see it still happening.
Nice.
When I think about it, it was in 2006, between 2004 and 2006 in Brussels, in Belgium. And so I know that what you see with Trump is a hairpiece. A bad one, because let's be honest, everyone can see that it is not real. But yeah, so yeah, you can...
So it's woven. It must be woven.
Again?
There's different ways to mount hair pieces. It has to be woven because it stays on set. The wind blows. If it doesn't, if it's just gravity, it's going to blow off and go down the street. So if it's woven into hair that all this on his head, stay on his head, but it'll flap around like a big flap, 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 you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, but
anyway,
I'm so close to grabbing a phone with me, with the camera. I wish that I had at that time a phone with a camera so that I could film it, but unfortunate, I don't think in that period, 2004-2006, that our cell phones had cameras, so far I know, but it certainly would have been a nice moment to film things like that. But and you saw suddenly Trump with his hand on top of his head, as if no one could see it, of course. But yeah, so that was quite a moment of Trump then in Brussels. And so, yeah. And, but that must have been one of those hair pieces that were not interwoven with what was left on the side of his head. And but that was quite a moment, to be honest. And another thing that, yeah, that people don't seem to realize that is a hair piece. Because as you may have noticed, and you may point it out earlier, is that every president from George Bush Jr., I'm not sure with Clinton or Bush Sr. and Obama, after 4 years or 8 years, they came in with dark hair, most of them, minus Clinton with more blonder hair, and they all went out with gray hair, if you had noticed. And with Trump, he went in with his hairpiece on, with the collar, and it stayed the same for all those years. So that already shows that his hair wasn't natural, but was on top. But as you have pointed out before, is that every president so far that we have witnessed, after their term of 4 or 8 years, their hair all turned a deep gray. So, yeah, that shows the worries that the job brings with that. And the fact
stress.
That you didn't saw that with Trump. No wonder. It was
well,
therapy,
yeah.
You're
right. You're right. You're right. It's not real hair. That's why it's not turning gray.
No.
You're correct.
No, but
it's
I
profound.
Clinton had already
we should write a
lighter
secretion
color hair.
44 to not defied. Oh,
yeah,
man.
But
what a mess.
It's a clown world that we're literally living in right now. The question is for how long.
Yeah. Well, you know,
but
my sister said something to me, and she was right. She said, you need to get out of the house a little more, and it's true. If you just stay in your house all the time like I do, and your only exposure to the outside is seeing somebody roller skate through your cul-de-sac or doom scrolling in the morning, you know, through Twitter, you're going to have a pretty distorted view of the way the earth looks. I miss the days when I used to be, you know, in town for 6 weeks and then I travel for 1 week, in town for 6 weeks, travel for 1 week. I liked it back then because it kept me level-headed. You know what I mean? I could sit in an airport
yes.
with thousands of people around me and I could get a sampling of the normalcy that I never saw when I was at the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to get out in public to be able to get a feel for it. You know, when you think about when we talk about CBDCs and digital IDs and all that kind of stuff, social credit scores and all that, like I don't even think they have social credit scores completed in China yet. China's too big, way too big. It has doesn't have like almost 2 billion people living there. It's way too big. I believe that they have social credit scores in certain parts of certain cities. And they're rolling it out, but it's going to take them a long time. And they may even have decided to kill the people that are not in those governed areas, just like they might end up doing the same thing with us. But, yeah, I I try to simplify the complicated. Trump gets elected. Trump gets assassinated. Civil War starts. World War III starts. Why does World War III start at the same time the American Civil War starts? Because all the leaders of all the major countries right now that are holding back because they don't want an aircraft carrier bombing them, they're all waiting to see if Donald Trump gets elected. They're waiting.
Yes.
So when the country breaks into civil war and Trump is already shot, then they will start World War III. It'll go hot because they know there's no turning back and they don't have to worry about aircraft carriers. In the meantime, the United Nations will come in, institute martial law in the United States. They'll christen Obama officially the Antichrist. He'll form an alliance with the United Nations out of Washington, D.C., at least in the beginning. And then we've checked all the boxes. The only thing that's left is the alien invasion that's going to happen in the middle of all that. And then we leave. We leave. That's
and
why
yeah,
Pastor Sori Parker
out earlier. A well-pointed thing you make about all the refugees that are coming, or illegal aliens, as we call them, because that's what they are, a lot of them, probably 90%, are all military-age men. So, again,
yeah.
You
know Genesis 90%. Has a song about that? Do you know the band Genesis?
I heard about it. A while ago.
They got a song just for times of today. It goes like this: it's no fun being an illegal alien. I always thought that would be funny. Or at least, put a smile on your face. If you put that on really loud PA speakers, down by Darien Gap and, right by, the southern border. Of course, the Chinese soldiers wouldn't like it very much.
No. And so, yeah, but it is insane. We talk literally now of an invasion of the United States, same as here in the U.K.,
It's over. It's done. As a matter of fact, I don't think you quite get it. I think you do get it, but I don't think you quite are all the way there yet. All right, so I'm just going to play this. I'm going to play it just for a second. All right, hold on.
I want to apologize to everybody,
Alex Jones.
I want to apologize. I didn't do more back when we probably could have stopped this. I want to apologize. I wasn't more focused. I want to apologize that I wasn't more dedicated. I want to apologize that I wasn't more urgent. But I only say that to be honest with you. When I point a finger at you, there's three more back at me. You need to apologize to yourself. You need to apologize to your family. Because we're not getting out of this now. I did everything I could to stop this. And now I've got to give you the bad news. And I've got to give my family the bad news. I've given my wife the bad news. That we're going to be chewed up by the New World Order now. Now, what matters is your relationship with God. What matters is that you prepare spiritually for this and physically. And the evidence is overwhelming. They'll be destroyed in the process. They will be defeated as well. They're Satan's pimps. Of course they will. It doesn't lessen the fact of how horrible this is. And I apologize for having to give you this bad news. But I don't think you even need me to tell you to you. So, good times are over. It's like that song from The Doors. It's all over for the unknown soldier. The war is over for the unknown soldier. But understand, if they bring in martial law and they win this war, they are going to take your children from you if you survive. They're going to mutilate them and torture them with drugs and cut their breasts and genitals off because they're hellraiser cult leaders. Imagine there was a cult running around that grabbed kids and cut their genitals off. You're like, they're the worst cult ever. Worse than MS-13, but it's the government's like, it's liberal. So now let's do what it takes to stop this. Let's not comply with anything the system says. The social contract's broken. Let's warn everybody 24/7. Let's physically get ready and spiritually get ready, and let's expose their operations on every front. And ask God, not what you want. This is my opinion. You can take it or leave it. I don't ask God in prayers, except occasionally, maybe one out of 100 prayers, I'll say, and please protect my children. If that's your, you know, that's your plan, that's your will, but whatever happens, I understand. I just ask God, will you please give me discernment? I am a weak, broken creature. I am a sinner. Can you please, I have free will, but I ask you to come into me, and I ask you to lead God and direct me, and I ask you to sanctify me and help me be a good person. Of course, God still says, that's up to you. You have free will. But I will give you the discernment. I will give you the path if you want to follow it. God shows the way like a light. You have to follow the path. And the path is very rough. But when you get through it, you realize it was the only path through. So there are a lot of people who want to bargain with the system. They want to bargain with the New World Order. They want to bargain with the culture. They want to play all sides. They want to be friends with everybody. That way leads to total destruction. The path through this to victory is hard and painful and brutal, and you'll feel like you're outnumbered. You'll feel like you're losing, but in the end, you win.
There you go. I've been listening to Jones since 2004, and he has never sounded that depressed.
Yeah, it is a depressing message that he sent, and we are now near the completion of the, what is the book series I'm looking for in my mind? The Hunger Games. That is the end world that they are after. Or the movies, because there are also movies about it. Hunger Games.
What's it called? Oh, Hunger
Games?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a book series. I read the books first.
Yeah, all you got to do. Just do an extended water fast. You won't get hungry anymore, and you'll be like, oh, well, the Hunger Games is big. Just sit in a corner and read a book.
But people don't – I'm not sure how much people realize that, yeah, the army from the United Nations, that will be the illegal aliens that are now coming in the hundreds of thousands over the border and being let loose in the U.S., and they will be part of the army of the U.N. to hurt up the American people. And they don't have any, they have no conscience if they have to kill American people, because they know that American soldiers, maybe some, but not all, would kill their fellow Americans. So
I'm just, going to make it. Just open your front door, walk out into the middle of them and all, jump around, make monkey-looking faces and go, whoop, 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 Jesus is king, Jesus is king. Go over and slap them all on their faces and push them and get them to shoot you, man. If they shoot you, you get to go home.
Okay,
you think you can do that?
Way to do it.
I was also thinking putting a little bit of, like, olive oil on my white tile. You know, I don't know who builds a house with white tile. It's like the worst choice of tile you could possibly pick. But anyway, I have white tile in my main hallway. But if I put a nice thin coat of olive oil on my white tile, and they're like, boom, 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 let us in, let us in. I'll be like, yeah, sure, come on in, man. Open up the door, make sure I have my dogs locked up in the back room. They all come in with their army boots on, hit that white tile, and go flying up in the air. Bam! They're just like a big old pile of, who knows, It'd be hilarious. I'd just be sitting on the stairs eating a peanut butter and jelly, laughing. I'd be like, you guys, you're a bunch of goofies.
Yes. And, yeah, it's, yeah, of course, you're going to have some of the police and military that will fully cooperate with what I have been told. And I hope you still have a few of them that will not cooperate, or at least less so than others. But time will tell. And So, yeah, it will be interesting how things will develop, but we're certainly going to see dark times ahead. And it doesn't matter if Trump is in or whoever, and as you already pointed out, they certainly will try to kill Trump in order to create this civil war. And so, yeah, that who do you think that he kind of pick as VP?
Man, I hope it's Matt Gaetz. I hope it's Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz is such a rebel. He's a rebel rouser, man. He's in your face. He has all of his facts straight. He doesn't take any poop. He's right there, man. He's like Shazam, pow, pow, pow. Tells it like it is. And I like Matt Gaetz. I like Matt Gaetz a lot.
All right.
I think he's got
chutzpah. He's still quite young, man. You're still quite young.
Yeah.
For a politician.
Sure.
Yeah, he will.
You know, though, when
they
take Trump out, well, here's the thing. When they take Trump out, they have to take out the VP.
You mean they have to take out both?
You betcha. Because if they don't take the VP out, the VP automatically becomes the president.
Yes. And, yeah, but if they, so who is then, if they take him out both, who is then to become the president? Is that then the head
now,
of
what's
the
gonna
Congress?
Happen? No, no. Okay, hold on a sec. What's going to happen? Hold on, I'll show you. Hold on a second. DeFazio.
Must be the head of Congress, I think. Or at least some of the people in Congress.
Oh, no. Let me see here. No,
it's not.
No, that's not. Hold on. I just want to find the one. Ed Dames, FEMA marshals. Okay. Obama will declare martial law. Blah, blah, blah. Nope, that's not it. Martial law, CII, red and blue list. C-SPAN, NDAA, Dick Morris. Wait a minute. What's this one? Nope, that's not it. That's not. Come on, where's DeFazio flipping out, man? There it is. Listen to this.
City from Ohio.
Senator DeFazio.
The only way they can pass this bill is by creating and sustaining a panic atmosphere. That atmosphere is not justified. Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, that the sky would fall, the market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no. That's what I call fear-mongering. Unjustified. Proven wrong. We've got a week, we've got 2 weeks to write a good bill. The only way to pass a bad bill, keep the panic pressure on. Now, what has the Senate done to this bill?
Okay, that is Senator DeFazio throwing a fit about the bill that's called, at the time it was called PDD 51, Presidential Directive Number 51, but now it's called National Security Directive Number 51 for the continuity of government. It is entirely redacted. The only part of it that isn't completely blacked out with a big Sharpie marker is about the first three pages of it that are just an introductory statement about what the bill is about. It's about instituting a special government to keep the country going when it's whereby without it, it would be lost. The country would be lost. So you can bet your sweet bippy they got language in there under the redacted part that says put the last useful acting president in charge of the country and call them the Homeland Security Fuhrer or something like that. They'll give him a fancy name.
Yeah.
But it's in National Security Directive number 51. You can bet on it. It's going to put Obama in the presidency. He's going to be in the White House. Okay, they're going to christen him as the Antichrist. We're going to be able to check off all of our boxes, and then all we got to do is wait for the aliens to arrive, and then we can leave. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We can leave. Now, there's other stuff that's going to be happening along the way. I don't know when it's going to happen. For all we know, the Cascadia subduction zone might not happen until after we, you know, the barley harvest rapture has already occurred. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things that people are sort of waiting around for to happen that might not happen for a while. They might not happen for a couple of years yet. But I don't think we're going to be here that long. Right now, based upon Alice Bailey's commentary, you know, there's so much data. Look, Zeitgeist 2025, written by Thomas Horn. What happened to Thomas Horn right after he wrote that book? He went to heaven. Look, 2025 is a landmark. It's a landmark. They're all pointing to 2025. They're all the devil's pointing to 2025. The devil's minions are pointing to 2025. God's people that have been studying the history of all these things are pointing to 2025. Everybody's pointing to 2025. Everyone is, just about, pretty much. Okay, so that's where I'm putting my chips on the 2025 marker. I don't know if it's going to happen in the first part. I don't know if it's going to happen during the counting of the Omer, because it is a Sukkot wedding. Okay, it's a barley wedding, and Omers are, you know, bundles of barley. Okay, but and I just that's where my chips are at. I'm putting my chips on the barley's happening in the first. You know, around about April of 2025. I hope that's the case. If it's much longer, I hope it's not much longer, if you know what I mean. Because I'm getting tired. Mm. Aren't you getting tired?
Yes and no. I still have a lot of healing to do myself and us being a survivor and all that. But I my thing is, when my time is up, it is up. And, yeah, so if it is today, tomorrow, next week, or next year, that is not up to me. That is up to our God. I see what you mean. And with all the craziness going on, with this clown's world going on now for decades or plus or more, it is time to finish things, but only God knows when. And I do get the feeling that God still wants to get as many people on his side, if he can, because it depends if people are willing to surrender themselves to God. So yeah, God is not going to give up on humanity.
There's a point of diminishing returns. Most human beings on Earth, unless you've taken a statistics class, do not know what it means. It's called the point of diminishing returns.
Okay.
This is right. Okay, so what does it mean? Let's just say that God is watching a graph. He has this big combat information center set up right there in the throne room, and there is this giant OLED monitor. It's like, you know, 200 inches across, and he's sitting there and he's watching this graph, and the graph is going up. It's going up. Okay, we want another 200 souls. It goes up a little further. Hey, we want another 5,000 souls. It goes a little further, and he goes, wow, we want another 350 souls. It goes up a little higher. Hey, wow, look at that. We got another 1,000 souls. Hallelujah. And it goes a little bit higher. Look at it. We got 600 souls. All right. And then it starts to curve off a little bit. And he's like, oh, no, no, no. It went back down to 100 souls. That's not good. Oh, no, it's starting to curve a little bit more. It's heading down. Oh, no, we lost. We only got 10 souls. Oh, no, we only got one soul. That's what's called the point of diminishing returns. That's the point on the graph where God's. So the fullness of the Gentiles has been called in. We got everybody that we're going to get. Now it's time to pull the rapture lever.
All right.
There's a point of diminishing returns.
But no one of us knows
people
when this will happen.
It's in the Bible. It's in Matthew 22.
Yeah,
it's
in
right
the Bible,
there.
But not, it's not the time. Not the time when it will happen. We can say
no,
we
don't know.
It will happen now or tomorrow or next week. But and people for decades have been saying that the rapture will happen and all that type of thing. We have been hearing that for decades now.
Said it was 7,000 years.
Only God knows the exact time when it will happen. So, but if you say things are pointing to 2025 through various sources, then, and when you say 2025, is that the begin period of the period of Revelation or tribulation?
Forget about that. If you start doing that 7 years to have 3.5 years, 3.5 years, somebody's got to make a, you know, no, forget it. Just never mind. Look around you. Look around you. Why would you sit there and try to guess who it is that's, you know, making a covenant with many and try to do some math that hasn't, by the way, even been proven to be accurate? There are books written in the contrary to the Daniel Hunt version of, and there's another guy that wrote that was also a contributor, several. But the point is, not everybody believes in a 7 year week. Okay, that not everybody does. There are a lot of people that have done an extremely good job of proving that that could actually be a metaphor for a much longer period of time. That isn't as 3.5 years. It's much longer than that. So anyway, I don't know. And obviously, God doesn't want me to know. Sometimes I'm like, you know, on my knees, and I'm like saying, Father, you know, I know that you don't really want us to know, you know, when you're coming or anything, but could you, like, kick me over a hint or something? You know, I mean, just something? But I don't hear nothing.
I don't say myself that it is 7 years. I don't know how long it's going to be. So, but, no, but... because you mentioned 2025, that things will kick off, or at least things will go in a high gear. So, and things
will
seem to go in
here. The Anunnaki are here. 2030 is their deadline. So they've got to have
at least.
What do you think it is?
At least that is their aim, 2030. That is their aiming date that they go for, but
think,
it doesn't mean necessarily.
Do you think that Klaus Schwab wants to have his eyeballs ripped out?
No.
Do you think? Well,
no,
then
of
maybe he
not.
Wants to shoot. Maybe he wants to shoot for 2030, don't you think?
Of course.
What do you think the Anunnaki are going to do Schwab if he doesn't hit the 2030 mark?
He can be
What
fine.
Do you think they're going to do to him? They're going to kill him.
And probably what they probably do is they kill him, bring him back, and kill him again, bring him back. as they can do. And so, of course, he doesn't want
they're
that.
Already, they're putting Tony Blake. Tony Blake is going to go.
But,
in. He's the new. Tony Blake has already been chosen as the new head of the WEF. Well, Klaus Schwab has been demoted. He's already been demoted. Okay, so it's going to be Tony Blake, and he's another reptilian. So they're all a bunch of creeps. But anyway, we're stuck with it all. I just wish we had more Miami alien events to fill in the blanks, you know, in between it all. Here's a little, you know, I know we're running out of time. We're less than we have to play.
Let me quote the occult world directly. Now, Alice A. Bailey, 2025 hierarchy will manifest itself. Now, this is interesting. Now, Alice A. Bailey is basically the prophetess for the United Nations.
Yes.
She is the one that followed Blavatsky.
Yes.
Now, when I was still involved in all of these things, I was pertinently told by one of the highest channels in the world that if you are a student of Blavatsky, then you have arrived.
Yes.
Now, this is a personal experience. Mm-hmm. And Alice A. Bailey, of course,
seconds.
Temple of Understanding and all of these things in the United Nations, they are schooled. The whole education system is schooled on Alice A. Bailey. Let's have a look at this quote. It comes from a book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, where we must explain who the hierarchy is.
Mm-hmm.
The hierarchy are those spiritual master entities that run the world from behind the scenes. This is a reality in the thinking of the United Nations, right?
Correct.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have it as an official organization affiliated to the United Nations.
Yes.
And this hierarchy, if you know your Bible, is, of course, a demonic hierarchy. These are demons communicating with humanity.
Yes.
This is what it is. Now,
you
can look
at the
publisher.
Fallen angels.
It was written in 1957,
so
and it's
demons,
Lucifer Trust, which originally was Lucifer Publishing Company. But the name was too much in the face, so they changed it to Lucy's Trust. Same thing. She writes, thus a great and new movement is proceeding and a tremendously increased interplay and interaction is taking place. Interaction with whom?
Yes.
This will go on until... That's stunning.
AD
2025.
Bada bing, bada boom. The externalization of the hierarchy. Which hierarchy is this? It is the ruling hierarchy. It is the Antichrist. It is the fallen angelic entities that come down to the earth to rule and reign with the Antichrist during the Revelation 13 beast government, and the externalization of them, the translation of the word externalization is to introduce them to the people of the world that are external and are not indoctrinated to this particular information that has been around for, you know, since like 1950, for crying out loud. And they're pointing to 2025 for the revealing of the Antichrist and the fallen angelic beings that are going to be coming here and they're flying saucers, okay, to take over this earth as part of the New World Order. And they're going to start slaughtering and murdering everybody that was part of the WEF because they eat their youngs. They don't want them around, and they just use them to institute the new the New World Order, or the Novus Ordo Seclorum, or the Great Reset, or whatever you want to call it. It's just amazing that a document that was written by Alice Bailey all the way back 50, 60, 70 years ago mentioned 2025 for when they present the Antichrist to the world. I find this absolutely astonishing, particularly in light of the context of the things that are happening across the world right now.
No.
praise God. We're at the very end of this show. Actually, we're in overtime. I know we're in overtime. So, brother.
Yes. I only want to say one thing still. As a child, I was told by my handlers in programs also that I had to read Alistair Bailey, the books of Alistair Bailey and Blavatsky, the ones that were out then. So, yeah, I know them unfortunate back and forth, at least in the past. But this is astonishing. And, we have to deal with it if you like it or not. And we only, what we can do is trying to educate people on this and also educate people to get closer to God, because that is the only answer for us, that we get ready to be close with God if we want to have our souls to be saved. And that is part of the reason why I still do what I do and come on podcasts as yours to tell from my own background, including my walk with Jesus Christ and things like that. And it is now our job to hopefully teach people to get closer to God that aren't, if they are not already part of God's kingdom. So, hopefully they can be saved, and hopefully in the meantime that they can have their eyes opened on what's going on. The things that I mentioned, the year 25, it's quite remarkable, and you are right in that. The books were written 75 years ago, minimal. You said you have to close here in overtime, so I will do now a prayer. And the way, yesterday I tried to get in, and I got completely blank. I heard nothing yesterday evening. I mean, on Wednesday evening, that is.
When Blog Talk Radio goes down, it goes down. Can't wake it up by calling it. It goes down hard.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead and close with the brother, because I have, brother, I'm working with a company that's worth more than the money in all of Iraq, Iran, and Russia. Okay.
Yeah.
I got to be up and kicking names, so I got to go to bed early.
All right. Yeah.
No more radio.
Yeah. I will do the praying then. Okay, Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you as your servant, and I ask you to keep John protected, keep his assistant Nancy protected, and anyone that works on his shows. And I ask you to protect everyone that are listening, and put on their hearts to everyone that listening, Lord Jesus Christ, to bring the message through about the podcast that John is putting out, about the truth, what is going on, and what may will unfold if further in the future, Lord Jesus Christ. I also ask you to put a seed in the hearts of the political leaders so that they don't go fully crazy in this clown's world, Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you to protect everyone that is yours, Lord Jesus Christ, in your holy and sacred name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Robert, for dealing with all of the weirdness associated with Blog Talk Radio being up and down and up and down and up and down. Hopefully it'll last for a while before that happens again. Thank you so much for joining us. And we will see everybody, tomorrow night at 7 p.m., Lord willing. Thank you, Robert. God bless you, brother.
You're welcome. Take care.
See ya. See you soon.
See ya. Bye-bye.
I shall lift my obedient children to the clouds, for they shall see my glory.